B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Wednesday. Happy Veterans Day. And thank you to all of those heroes out there that served our country. Our warmest thanks, and we give you the virtual hug. And just to start the show, let you guys know, we do our yos, which is like our own version of a shout out. And we do it for businesses and wherever you listen to the show from. Today we want to do the give a yo to a veteran. So you got that, let us know. We'll be giving yos all day to the great men and women who served our country. Together, right? You know, that's the big thing, man, being together. And we come together to thank them and applaud them. My dad was in the Air Force, so he served. So thank you, Pop, in that sense. It is a special day in my household, too, because Veterans Day, November the 11th, is also my little Anthony's birthday. And so today, little Ant turned 11 on 11-11, which is pretty cool, right? Talking about rolling 11s, there's got to be something in numerology that's a good sign, right? So he turns 11 on 11-11. And that brings me to start the show to our 11 on the Eagles, Carson Wentz. And yesterday, the world kind of got turned upside down a bit. Listen, he deserves to be criticized to a certain level, right? Like, of course. So the national pundits, guys like Keyshawn Johnson and whoever other ESPN hot taker or whatever, one of these guys, these NFL hot takers, and so they rip Wentz. All right, that's good. Listen, that's par for the course. That's a part of the job description. You got to deal with it. Now, yesterday, however, I thought it was cruel and unusual that Brett Favre, his childhood hero, came out and crushed him. And he did. Make no bones about it. He said the Eagles should have kept Nick Foles. All right. Now, I assume Brett Favre, even though he's a nitwit and not the brightest person in the world, right? I assume that even if he's adult, that he'll look at it and say, yeah, I see Nick Foles not doing much in Chicago, right? So he knows that. And he fixes himself to say the Eagles should have kept Nick Foles. He went on to criticize Wentz, and it was, I thought, over the top. Now, what makes it worse, it's not that he criticized him, right? Like, listen, yeah, he's a big boy, right? I don't need to fight his battles. He don't even know who I am, basically, right? So, whatever. But when I see a sense of unfairness, that's not even a word. When I see that kind of sense where he's being treated unfairly, I got to step in. I got to at least say something. And I got to get off my chest. Because here's the deal. Brett Favre isn't just some former Hall of Fame quarterback, right? He's not just his hero. He's a close friend of Carson Wentz's coach. See, this is where the waters get muddy. Now, if you ask me, I don't think Doug planted it. I don't think Doug wanted Brett Favre to say that. I got to believe that Doug is way smarter than that. The last thing you want going into the second half of the season, coming off a bye when you're going to win the division and you're trying to get healthy, is for acrimony and for the player to look at you. Because if I'm Wentz, I'm going into the coach's office. I'm going, what's up with your boy? Because that's out of line. It's out of line for Favre to say that, because now he's in the Eagles' kitchen. Everybody knows how close they are. Peterson got Favre to speak before the Super Bowl, right? Peterson talks to Favre a lot. He said he talked about his offense, the whole thing. They talk to each other. They're close friends. Now, Favre is a complete imbecile. Complete imbecile for saying that and putting his buddy Doug in a bad spot. Like, it would be akin to me, one of my friends, ripping the Chunas. I'd be like, yo, dude, you can't rip the Chunas.
I agree.
I mean, that's not cool. You put me in a spot where the Chunas going to come to me and go, yo, what are you telling your friend stuff? I mean, this is a workplace. This is a big deal. You can't do that. So I don't believe that Doug put him up to it. I really don't. You know, I've heard all the theories. Maybe this is a way to reach him, to have his idol trash him and say they should have been traded. But again, Brett Favre is not Keyshawn Johnson. Right, Keyshawn Johnson said he won't finish his career as an Eagle. He should be moved on. Blah 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 blah. All right, well, that's just, you know, some hot taker, right? Former NFLer putting his opinion out there, which he's entitled to, which is fine. But Favre's different. Favre is way different. And this puts the Eagles in a bad spot. It just does. Now, Doug will speak today at 10:45. And I'm dying to see what he says. Because, I mean, we're going to have it here live. I'm curious what's going to happen. Because he can't just not address it. He has to. He can't go, next question. He has to address it. And he's got to say, listen, I don't know what Brett's talking about. And he's got to distance himself from Brett Favre. If it was me, I would say, well, I completely disagree with him. I don't know what he's talking about. He should watch the tapers. I don't know, whatever it is. But you got to back your quarterback over your buddy. So we'll find out. Now we got a little bit of adjusted break time so we can give you Doug and his fullness today. Carson will speak later on this afternoon. We will have that as well. And I think Doug needs to get in front of this thing, man. It's not a good look. And we'll catch up to speed. It's Cuz Radio Tunis. We're just getting started on a Wednesday, Veterans Day. All right, now I have a timely and specific message about a local company that's hiring right now for installers and service techs. Dreyfus Fireplace is seeking skilled, reliable tradesmen to install and service prefab fireplaces at both residential and commercial sites. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com or call 215-924-3500. Now, was your position eliminated in the wake of the COVID crisis? You had to work, but you're ready to get back on the field with the right team? Dreyfus Fireplaces, located in our great city, Philadelphia, might be the perfect employer for you. Let's keep it simple now. They have immediate positions available. They offer competitive pay. And here's the beauty. They're not going anywhere. They've been around for 145 years. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com. That's DreyfusS. The number again, 215-924-3500. Dreyfus, bringing the heat with quality and service since 1876.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh, welcome back. Cause Radio Tunis. All right, so we got to talk about it. I'm curious. How do we all feel digesting this thing? Again, it's not a federal case that Brett Favre crushes Carson Wentz. I think it's out of line. I think it's pretty despicable that this guy over and over again has said that Favre was his hero. And for Favre to just crush him and step on him is pretty, I think, pretty nasty. It's pretty crappy. But what makes it worse is that he's buddies with the guy's coach. See, that's where the problem lies. Good morning, Tunis.
What's up, man? What's going on?
What's up, man?
Yeah.
You feel better? We got the Delaware Valley trying to send you your wishes.
I'm feeling okay. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit of a better mood today, I guess. The sun came up again. That's nice. This is fascinating because I think people aren't really getting it. I see a lot of tweets still. I heard callers yesterday calling into Mike's show after we left here. There's people that called into you yesterday saying the same thing of, well, it's his opinion. He can say what he wants. It could just be his opinion, but it's pretty eye-opening that Doug Peterson and Brett Favre are friends, not just acquaintances. Like, they're actual friends. And you mentioned in the opening segment, Brett Favre spoke to the team prior to the Super Bowl. You know, you got to be buddies to be able to have that kind of connection. It's not like he had Will Smith or Sylvester, like a Philadelphia thing. No, right. He had Brett Favre on to speak to the players prior to the Super Bowl in 2017. They obviously had that kind of a relationship to make that happen. So it's eye-opening that it's Brett Favre, and out of nowhere, too, and I mentioned this a lot yesterday, he wasn't asked, hey, Favre or Wentz, what would you have done?
No, he volunteered it.
He just brought it up himself.
Yeah, he volunteered it.
He straight up said it himself, oh, and by the way, I think they should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And to me, it's fascinating that this happened just the week after the Eagles had the bye week. So maybe Doug Peterson has some free time on his hands. He calls up his old buddy Brett, who he hasn't spoken to because he's busy during the NFL season. He doesn't have a lot of free time. Bye week, calls his old buddy. Hey, my quarterback's getting compared to you a lot. What should I do? And then maybe they have a few beers on the conversation. And then it gets deeper and deeper. And he goes, man, this guy's killing me.
Yes, that could easily. And it would mean no harm. Like, listen, Doug's not at fault if he's blowing off some steam to his buddy.
Right.
Right? Like, we've all done that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right, this guy's killing me, the whole thing. But what can't happen is you can't go out publicly, your buddy, and kill him.
Yes.
And he did. I mean, he didn't just say he's got to improve or he's got to take care of the ball, whatever it is. He said they should have kept the other guy. And the other guy isn't playing well. Take a listen.
I actually thought that they should have kept Nick Foles rather than Carson Wentz, just based off of production and where they got to. You know, they won a Super Bowl with Foles, and that was a little bit surprising. But they're obviously banking on his upside. You know, how many more years do you let it linger before you stick with him or you cut bait? That's a question they only can answer. But I know Doug, of course, we were together for a long time. He's a very simple coach. He's going to put you in the best possible opportunity to succeed. He's not going to complicate things. So I know it's not Doug.
All right. I mean, right off the bat, look at a couple things he said.
Yeah, he picks the Foles over Wentz.
So, right off the bat, that's the haymaker.
Yes.
Then he says...
He's kicking him while he's down.
Right. Then he says, you know, how much longer are you going to stay the course? When are you going to cut bait? Like, in his mind, he's telling you, I would have cut bait already.
Right.
Now, think about that.
Yes. It's awful.
Favre is saying he cut bait with Wentz. And then he alibis for Doug.
Yep.
I think he calls him a simpleton, but, you know, I don't know if that's the right
thing. The only thing missing on the old bingo card was he didn't mention Hurts. Oh, by the way.
Right.
I should have started Hurts.
I love this kid out of Oklahoma by way of Alabama. I mean, think about that. That's the dude's buddy. He told you. That's sometimes we can get accused of going overboard with stuff, and I'm cognizant of that. I know that there are times if I'm enamored, I could be the dog with a bone, right? Like I get it, but this thing on so many levels is crazy. Like, first of all, how many of you guys out there? Would if somebody like a younger person looked up to you, how could you crush them like that? First of all, I think that's pretty nasty, right? Like I do. I think that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, but right? I don't know. I don't think that should stop him from being critical of a player.
Well, again, but there's a way to do it. My only point is you don't have to say and lie, go overboard. But, you know, how about you have a little bit of the, you show a little savoir faire while you do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. Like, I look up to you. So if I'm having a bad week or a bad month or a bad year of producing, I would want you to say something to me.
Well, I wouldn't tell the world.
Yes, that's true.
It is true. It sucks, man. Yeah. All right. Hey, when are they going to cut? Cut bait with the dude. I mean, think about that. That would be like Mikey Miss saying that about you. I'd be like, yo, dude, you're not supposed to say that. No.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. I just think it's pretty terrible. Again, Joe Montana or Steve Young or Kurt Warner can come out and rip Wentz, and hey, that's their opinion. Keyshawn Johnson rips them. Go ahead. All right. That's how you feel.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't hear me ripping Keyshawn Johnson.
No.
That's his opinion. And it's part of the job to get the criticism. Like you gotta get the criticism, dude. Like that's part of the deal. When you don't take care of the ball and you're egregious, you know, like that first
when
play.
When you lead the league in turnovers.
I mean, that's a bad thing. Right? I get it. But this is entirely different. Entirely. Let's get to the phone lines. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Josh.
Wednesday.
Well, happy. It's 11:11. It doesn't get more Wentz than that.
Unbelievable. First off, I want to touch on this, and I want to give a yo. Favre is a crumb bum. He is. But in all seriousness, you know, he took a lot of hits to the head in his day, so somebody should check him out for that. But that's, listen, with a guy of his stature and status, like, you don't go out and say that. Now, where is it coming from? I'm not confident to say that, you know, it's coming from Doug because, you know, how many people that you know that you are best friends with and close with that have opposite views, you know, as you, that are Folesian society people, like fellow Eagles fans and stuff. So, you know, it's fun to dive into and kind of like read between the lines, but I'm not yet confident to think like, oh, Doug had some input in this. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. I mean, I expect more from Doug. I mean, it would make no sense for him to do that. The stupidity is all on Favre.
All on Favre. Like, you don't do that now. Like, why now? You know? So my yo, kind of ties into my job as the croupier. You guys have partaken in games of chance, more most specifically Dice, yeah, you guys throw the bones back in the
roll
day.
Roll the bones, baby.
Right? So when you roll an 11, what do they call it?
It's a yo.
It's a yo. So my yo is to our guy, number 11. All right? This is his time. All right? It's not quite December like last year, but we got the Giants and the Browns with that awful defense. So it's time. So I'm going to shout out Carson, yo 11. This is your time. Coming off a bye, we're getting healthier. We're going to get right these next two games on offense. We're going to get consistent for this the five games after that. I'm not saying we're going to win those five games, but we got to compete because, you know, we are going to win the East, and we're going to be an underdog, but we need to get right. So shout out, yo 11, Carson Wentz. This is your time, the second half of the season.
I love it. The traveling croupier. Josh, that's a great call, man. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. A yo 11, man. Nobody knows that more than Josh.
No, you're right.
Who's ran dice games all over the world. I always love that moniker. The traveling croupier.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Josh spent a career on the seas, on the open seas.
And he would call us from different ports.
Working for, cool. Yeah, it was working for a cruise liner, and he would call us all over the world. It was cool, man. He made it home to the Super Bowl. Remember he told that story?
Yep.
From Australia.
Took all kinds of different routes.
Yes. That's pretty cool. Let's go to Lenny. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's happening, Len?
Len and Tunis.
What's happening, buddy?
What up?
I think I'm going to go left. I think I'm going to blow your mind. We might have to sound the alarm on Dougie P. Now, granted, I know you guys can't say it. However, based on those comments from yesterday from Brett Favre, we might have to investigate charges. Dougie P being a snake.
Wow.
We might have to
put him on trial.
Charges. Innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty. But what do you guys think?
Yes, I think we need to have a trial. The trial of Dougie P. And you know why? And here's the thing. To your point, there has been a lot, and we have talked about this. This has become a topic around town. Like, how come he doesn't put his arm around the quarterback? How come he doesn't talk to quarterback?
And I have to give a yo to you, and I think Tunis as well, into exposing this anti-Wentz movement. It's an anti-Wentz movement.
Yeah, I really don't think I'm trying to expose anything. I don't know. I mean, you guys see it. I like what I say, right? Like, you know. So
we're not exposing or bring it to attention because guess what? I was on the wagon of we need to start looking at Wentz and look at his throws. But more importantly, if you don't have that mentorship, I don't care what industry you're in, you're not going to perform well if you don't have that mentorship. And I just wanted to be just thank you guys for bringing that up because I was against the whole, before the whole Wentz, you need to get him out of here and all this stuff. But no, it might be the manager. We've been talking about it since day one. Howie, Laurie, Dougie P. I mean, come on.
Yeah, here's what I would hate. Listen, if he's just not that good, then he's just not that good, right? Like, that's the point. I don't know. I still can't. He was awful against the Cowboys. However, I saw some incredible throws over the previous four games. Really good play. I don't know.
Just go away. Just like all of a sudden, just doesn't go away. Like I just can't do it. This is not a Markelle Fultz situation. It's not.
I know. I mean, my instincts tell me he's got talent, Lenny. Now again. This doesn't absolve him from blame. It doesn't make not at all criticize him. But I still just go, there's something here. You know, does he need coaching? You know, he's finally got a player in Fulgham. So I don't know. Maybe over the next 8 weeks, he kind of comes back to his own. I don't know. Len,
let's pose this to Eagles Nation. Let's see what do people think of these charges.
I like it. I like it. I appreciate that. That's good stuff, brother. Right. We should do the trial of Dougie P.
I agree. I agree. Now, I know we're getting ready for his press conference, but I was just giving some audio from inside his office with Carson.
There's a plane waiting for us to take us to Miami in an hour. They'll make a big thing about it. I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
Oh, it's the best. Listen, life, I'm blessed to be able to go to work and listen to a Godfather cut. Amen. Thank God. All right, we're going to come back. We'll have the Dougie P. Presser. We'll listen to it. And we should do the trial. We need a prosecutor and a defense attorney. So I really think that we should do this. It's Cuz Radio with that man, the Chunas. Now, let me talk about the Bagster. Now, who do you think I'm throwing in a Bagster? I can't believe. I used to love Favre, right? Just the way he played and all the interceptions, I know, but he still had that big arm and he had a bit of valor. And so I'm crushed by him being such a snake. I knew he was a dummy, but I didn't realize that he was this stupid and this nasty. So, Brett Favre, I throw you into the Bagster. That's right. Move aside Matt Klentak. Favre is in the Bagster permanently. Don't forget the Bagster bag to help with your cleanup. This fall, this winter, if you're doing any kind of remodeling, renovations to the house, you're cleaning out the garage, you clean out the basement, get ready for winter, you got to get the Bagster. That's right. A 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. That's a lot of Favre's. That's a lot of waste right there. And the beauty is that it's as strong and can handle all that waste. It's got the might of those metal dumpsters, but not the unsightliness. And it's easy. It's a bag, and it's sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores for just $29.99. That's it. $29.99. The bags are easy to use. I'm telling you, it can take it on any of your jobs. Buy it, fill it, schedule a collection, and it's gone. No time limits. Completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find the store nearest you for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in the back.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, right to Doug. Here we go.
We're just limited in the amount of, availability with the players right now. But we're going to make the most of it. And the messaging is that we eliminate distractions and we focus on the Giants and we prepare that way.
Ruben and then Tim.
Hey, Doug, good morning. The obligatory injury question. When you have guys activated with their IR window, what do you look for? It seems like usually they practice for a week and then you'll hold them out of that first game. And then if they get through the next week, they play. But what would a guy have to show you, like Isaac, for instance, this week, or even Miles, to play on Sunday? What would you look for? And also, how's Lane doing?
In Lane's case, Lane's doing good. We'll get him out there today and just see where he's at health wise. But he's doing really well. He's in a good frame of mind and the time off was really good for him to get treatment and to rest and be prepared for this week. As it pertains to Isaac and Miles, really, we just gotta number one, we got to be smart with how much of a workload we give them during weeks like this. We do want to see them, you know, practice and you know, get some snaps and some reps with the offense. But we also got to see how much of a workload, how much can their body, you know, the stress on their body take during the week. Because, you know, we limit guys during the week and then, you know, they go play and get a full workload on Sunday and it's a little bit different. So we just got to be able to manage that the right way and make sure that they feel comfortable. They're in the right frame of mind, obviously. And, you know, that's why we do the ramp up, you know, process the way we do it.
Tim and then Zach.
Hey Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
I'll have Zach and then John
off the record.
Hey, Doug, you had the players on the field last week and I believe Monday. What did you see from Carson in those practices? And were there any indications that turnovers continue to be an issue?
Yeah, last week was good. Actually rested Carson, didn't let the starters practice last week, had the young guys out there. I wanted to focus more on the sort of the developmental guys, the guys that haven't gotten a lot of snaps with the offense and defense. So I let a lot of the starters just kind of rest and take the time. They were out there at practice, but take the time off.
Go ahead, John.
Hey, Doug, good morning. Little curveball for you. I don't know if you know this, but this is the 31st, I think, anniversary of the Division I AA game where you threw for 619 yards. It's the most yards combined in any Division I AA FCS now. Have any memories of that? Were you aware this was the day?
You know what? I had no idea that this was the day. Now, listen, these are if you guys will learn from these types of questions, these are the questions I love to answer. So in the future, ask more of these types of questions.
That's not going to help me, Doug.
Yeah. I tell you, it was a great day. You know, obviously when you're in the moment like that, you're just trying to execute, you know, your offense. And I didn't even know that I had thrown for that many yards in that particular game and really until afterwards. And at the time, a local reporter, his name was Gene Ponte, came up to me in the locker room after the game. Of course, we lost the game, which probably sticks in my memory bank more than anything. But he said, I set a NCAA record for most passing yards in a game at the time. I think it's been broken several times since, but it was just a great day and it was a lot of fun and, got all the offensive guys involved in that day. And, you know, I just wish we would have pulled out the victory. It would have made it that much more sweeter.
John Clark and then Paul Domowicz.
Hey, Doug, having faced the Giants so recently, does that change anything that you do as far as game planning and preparation and things to throw at them because of the familiarity?
No, you know, it is something, obviously, to go back and watch our game. And listen, they, quite frankly, they had us beat. You know, it was 21-10 with under 5 minutes to go in this game. This is a good football team. And we've got to learn from that game. We've got to go back and study it. And not just from, you know, X's and O's, but just our execution as an offense and defense. And, you know, there was a you know, trick plays on special teams, and there were all kinds of things in the game that came up that we can learn from and study and be prepared. You know, and it is nice to have just played them a couple weeks ago because things are still kind of fresh on your mind, and you know, we've had a chance to study them a little bit more. They've had a couple of games, but listen, this is a much improved football team from the first time, and they're playing, even though, you know, they haven't pulled these games out as much, but they're It's a good football team. It's a good football team. They're coming off a win this past weekend, and they had Tampa Bay on the ropes. Obviously, had us on the ropes, and several teams this year. And we have to be prepared.
Paul, and then Jeff McClain.
Yeah, Doug, before Dallas initially got hurt and then Zach, you guys obviously were predominantly a 12 personnel offense. Their absence has given your wide receivers, including Fulgham and now Jalen, a chance to emerge and play well. Going forward, are you going to be probably more of a mixture of 11 and 12?
You know, I think it just depends on the week you're in. As far as, we take a look at a lot of the analytical numbers, based on our opponent, things that have been successful, and really look at our own success, whether we're in 11 or 12 personnel, and how to attack. Quite honestly, teams that play their base defense against our 12 personnel, we tend to struggle against those defenses. And so by putting 11 out there and maybe getting their sub defense on the field where we can spread things out has been beneficial for us. And so it's a week to week adjustment that we look at in order for us to really say, hey, this is a 12 game or 11 personnel game, each week.
Jeff, and then Les.
Doug, more than half of John Hightower's targets this year have been on deep passes, I guess, which qualifies 20 yards or longer. And yet he hasn't really caught many of those passes for whatever the reason. Carson's numbers downfield have not been good also. Did you find during the break as you did some self-analysis that you guys have been forcing the ball too much to Hightower downfield?
No. Listen, Hightower's open down the field. I believe one of the things that I've done personally as a play caller is I've called more of the shot plays, with him in the game. It is something that we studied last week during our off time and we haven't hit as many as I would have liked, but the fact that we're getting in behind the defense and having opportunities down the field are things that we can improve on and we can get better at. And so for me, that's the encouraging part, is that we have so much room to really grow in that area. But, we put Hightower in that position. He's blessed with speed. He's blessed with good ball skills. He can make the catch down the field. And we just got to continue, we got to continue to work in that area and keep throwing those balls, not only in practice, but in the game.
Go ahead, Les, and then Kristen.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, I'll leave it at that.
Go ahead, Kristen, and then Ed Kratz.
Good morning, Doug. When we've talked in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk about the inconsistency on the roster, hoping to build that back up here in the second half of the season. You mentioned some of the injuries, but from the confidence level, where does that stand for you guys, knowing that you can get some of those pieces back here in the second half to try to create some of that consistency?
Yeah, I mean, the bye week came at a really good time for us as the health of the football team allowed some guys that have been injured to get healthy and see where they're at this week. And so we're encouraged. I'm encouraged by where we are even today and getting a few more guys back on the practice field and seeing where they are. We've got to continue to, keep making strides, keep improving each week. And when we start getting these players back, incorporate them back into the scheme and into the flow of the team and just keep improving. And, this will be a big week for a lot of players and a lot of those injured guys as we prepare this week.
Go ahead, Ed, and then Martin.
Hey, Doug. Just curious, when you studied Carson after the first eight games, presumably last week, is there anything you can pinpoint that you and your staff can help kind of get him back on the right track here? I know he talks all the time about he knows he understands the turnovers can happen, but is there anything you can do maybe in terms of play calling to help get him kind of jump started into the second half?
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of things we can do, and I think play calling is one of them. I can do things a little bit differently there. I can, you know, obviously maybe call a run or two a little bit more to help out a little bit. But, you know, some of the things that we're doing offensively or that we did in the first half of the season was our first and 10 production. We were poor. We were not staying ahead of the chains, so to speak. We were too many second long and third long situations. So offensively, we were putting ourselves in bad situations. And those are things that we can focus on, whether it be the run game, whether it be the screen game, you know, quick passing, whatever it might be, to not only help Carson, but to help the offense. And all those things go hand in hand with the success of your offense. And we just got to do a better job on first and 10 and keeping ourselves out of those situations.
Go ahead, Martin, and then Mike K.
Hi, Doug. I know the beginning of the season, obviously, you didn't really see, you know, Jalen Reagor and Travis Fulgham as being your top two receivers. So obviously they haven't spent a lot of time, you know, working with the first unit together. And obviously there was Rager's injuries and stuff. But, you know, now that you've had a couple weeks with them and everything, like, how important is it for you guys to kind of like establish those guys, you know, get them familiar with Carson and stuff? Because it seems like, you know, basically it's training camp for those guys as the top receivers. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, in Travis's case, obviously he's had a lot of time with Carson now, several weeks, and so I think they're on a pretty good page. I think getting Jalen back, he came back, you know, against the Cowboy game, kind of his first time back out there. You know, this will be the next time, you know, second time out, and then again, you know, throw Alshon in the mix and see where he's at this week as well. So, kind of incorporating these guys back in the system, we've got to spend, you know, as much time as we can on the field trying to get Carson comfortable and also them comfortable with the offense and all that. So, you know, it's a work in progress with a couple of the young players, but having them back in the fold, in the mix as healthy receivers, just makes us a little bit better, a little bit stronger, you know, moving forward.
We'll wrap it up with Mike and then Rob Motti.
Hey, Doug. When you look back at Golden Tate's time here, what did you take away from him as a player and as a person? And then also, why do you think it was only kind of a, you know, a short stint for him in Philly?
I tell you what, great player, great person, a great teammate. You know, those are things that stood out to me. And then, you know, just an opportunity for him, for me to work with him. I think he's a really good slot receiver, move him around. The formations, do some different things with him, you know, and you know, I can go back to that Bears playoff game and some of the tough catches he made in that game. And of course the game winning touchdown in that game to help us win a playoff game a couple years ago. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, he came in, he helped us do what we needed to do and then moved on. You know, every year is a different year, and you're always looking, you know, obviously not only free agents, but even at the trade deadline, ways to maybe improve your team and add some depth and talent. And he was one of the guys at the time, and he definitely helped us get into the postseason and win that playoff game.
Go ahead, Rob.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said, just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. When the decision had to be made in the organization, even though personnel decisions like that are usually tough, was it that difficult for you guys? Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
With in regards to Nick,
in terms of keeping Nick over Carson?
No, Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, that I respect that opinion. Whatever he wants to say, that's fine. And we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. And it's my job to get Carson Wentz to play better, to do better, to help this football team win, as it is to get everybody else to play better. And so, you know, again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line, end of story.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everybody.
Are you kidding me? Are you serious with that news conference? Is he a moron? Seriously, I question now whether this guy can spell cat. It took him three times to realize what the flipping question was? Are you kidding me? Three times? He was given, first, here's your out. All right, address it. He doesn't address it. He just says, that's Brett's opinion. He's given a second opportunity to back his quarterback. And he once again throws the quarterback under the bus, doesn't deny it. And then finally, because Rob Motti is like, what? Like, wait a second, what am I missing here? You were given an opportunity to say that you disagree with Favre. It took him three times. Three times to say Carson was his guy. Is he that dumb? Seriously. I'm sorry. Listen, I'm completely at a loss for words. That was the clumsiest, most absurd, ridiculous, asinine news conference I've ever heard. I've been in the business for 30 years. I've heard, you name it, I've been at news conferences. All right? I covered news conferences. Crazy people, Bobby Knight, Bill Parcells. I've been in news conferences in every sport. This was the dumbest. The absolute dumbest. Whether Doug Peterson agrees or disagrees with Brett Favre is not even the issue. That he couldn't even think on his feet after, I'm sure he was prepped several times by his PR staff to say, listen, I respect Brett Favre, but I disagree, and we're going to show, Carson's going to show him he's wrong. Are you kidding me? Seriously? It took him three times. We're going to have a problem. Please, with that nonsense. What, are we stupid? Either he's a flaming moron, dumber than Favre, or he just realized, I guess I got to say something. And he was such a bad actor, he couldn't even bring himself to say it because he doesn't like the kid. You tell me. You heard it? Oh, my God. How are we supposed to have faith in that guy? Are you kidding me? We talk about, listen, forget about politics. The word presidential, all right? The word of a leader, the word of a CEO, that's what a football coach is. The football coach needs to be presidential. The football coach needs to be a CEO, all right? And this guy sounds like, I don't even want to say it because it's not fair, but he sounds like he just came out of the mailroom. He sounds like he's like a child. This is absurd. It's one of the worst job of leadership I've ever heard. Brett Favre is the guy's friend, close friend. Are we stupid? Of course we're going to go, hey, Doug, did you say it? Do you believe it? He didn't even, twice he was given a chance to say, no, Carson. He didn't even denounce it. He was the second time he was given an out. Just to say, no, Carson's my guy. It took him a third question. That news conference is going to end if Rob Motti doesn't save his sorry ass. And it's going to end with the whole thing in flames. If Rob Motti doesn't ask that question, that news conference is over and we're out of our minds. I don't know where to go. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you guys. I don't even know where to go from here. I mean, I need to have some faith in leadership and who's running this team. I've said all along, and I've tried to be kind, and, you know, I like, he's a likable bloke, the whole thing. You have faith in that? I've been around a lot of coaches in my 30 years doing this stuff. A lot of coaches. He's weak, all right? And before you say this is an anti, this is not anti-Carson. This is how you run an organization. I don't care. Whatever they do with Carson, this is what they do with Carson. It's their prerogative. But it's how you run an organization. Do you feel comfortable as an Eagles fan with that guy in charge? Seriously. Are you kidding me? That's not how you handle an organization. That's not how you are the CEO of a franchise in the NFL. Junis, what do you think?
I don't know. I saw a couple of tweets saying, well, then he must really not be lying and it must not be his guy. Carson must not be his guy. You're still in the middle of the season, dude. I don't care if he actually doesn't think he's his guy. At this point, you got to lie. At this point.
Exactly.
You just go, yeah, no, he's our guy. And I don't care the tone of his voice. I don't care. You just have to say he's our guy and that's it. The conversation's over. You're right. Rob Motti saved him. So I quickly pulled each one. Do you want to run through them real quick? Answers 1, 2, and 3?
Yeah.
All right, so here's question number 1 from Tim McManus.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion, you know. I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that, and that's about it.
So that was number 1. This one, number 2, Les Bowen.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
Right there. Stop it right there. That was the follow-up.
Yeah.
So if you're clumsy like he was clumsy, here's your chance, right? You're given a second opportunity.
Right.
Play that one over again. Les gives him the opportunity because Les is going, wait a second. Because Les has been doing this for a long time. And Les goes, what?
Les gave the great,
What am I hearing? Hello? And so Les goes, I got to ask this guy. I got to give him a chance, you know. Just so the whole world, so the NovaCare doesn't just erupt in flames. Here's what he says.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business. You said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
All he's got to say is, no, that's not my opinion. He doesn't say it. He doesn't say it's not my opinion. I'll leave it at that. What is that answer? Really? Forget about it. Who, if you don't like Wentz, so be it. All right, but you got sports, you lie. Right? And at the end of the year, you trade him and you make Hurts the guy. Right? Like,
That's what it is.
You're still competing for the division. Keep everybody happy.
You still have a shot at the rest of the season. It's the middle of the year. He doesn't say, no, that's not my opinion. And then finally, the thing's going to end. Like, the news conference is about to end. Remember, if Rob Motti doesn't ask the question at the very end of that news conference, because Rob's going, what? Wait a second. What's he talking about? If Rob doesn't ask that question, then it ends. And it ends with wild speculation. Here's Rob Motti now.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said, just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify.
He's
those
laughing.
Were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. When the decision had to be made in the organization, even though personnel decisions like that are usually tough, was it that difficult for you guys? Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
In regards to Nick?
In terms of keeping Nick over Carson.
No, Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, that I respect that opinion. But whatever he wants to say, that's fine.
And no, you don't respect
it. We're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. And it's my job to get Carson Wentz to play better, to do better, to help this football team win, as it is to get everybody else to play better.
Do better.
And so, you know, again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line. End of story.
Wait, I love the fact that he's got to go bottom line. End of story. Okay, cuz, because you're the one who fanned the flames, you nitwit. I mean, are you kidding me? You fanned the flames. Oh, my God. I thought Cotite was challenged at news conferences. I mean, this is unreal. And by the way, did you hear how he praised Hightower over and over and over again? Just FYI, from the Wentz camp, they'll tell you that Hightower ran the wrong route on the first one, all right, against Dallas. And we've seen those two not on the same page, but he went overboard to praise Hightower. He went overboard to praise Golden Tate. It took a dental appointment for him to back up his quarterback. And again, it's his prerogative not to. It's just not smart. Not in the middle of the season. Let's go to the phones. I've never seen a more clumsy news conference. I got to tell you, it's shaken me to the core as far as trust in this group. Andrew in Georgia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Fellas, it's been too long. And to answer that first question, I had to call in immediately. I've never been kicked off of the air for cursing, and I'm going to try not to today. It was like I was waiting for the rooster to crow with Peter denying
yes,
Christ three
yes,
times.
Yeah, the cock crows three times. Yeah, he finally realized it.
All right, let's just walk through this because I don't think we've addressed it. I'm not a journalist, but I ask people a lot of questions in my profession. Okay, so the last two fellows who asked the questions, they didn't ask questions. They laid answers in front of him, okay? And the second question was, can I assume that's not your opinion? Like, it's on a silver platter, right? It's there, laid out for him. He is a boob. I forget how I feel about Carson. Forget how he feels about Carson, right? Like, you just have to have the slightest bit of intelligence to know how to answer that question. And as you said, I assume the Eagles PR department pay people a whole lot of money, right?
Yeah. No,
okay.
Listen.
Didn't they have a conversation?
Really, listen, that organization is a sharp organization, all right? It really is. It's they're brilliant when it comes to business. They're brilliant when it comes to PR. I believe with every fiber, Andrew, that Doug was prepped. Like, listen, hey, they're going to ask about this Favre situation. Just say, you know, I respect Brett's opinion, but I disagree, whatever. I mean, he was given two opportunities. He couldn't even go that far.
Here, you ready? So I'm just some dope, right, who didn't talk to a PR department. Hey, listen, if what I see on Facebook with the election teaches us anything, is there are people in our life who we respect and love that we completely disagree with. And in this situation, I completely disagree with Brett, but I still respect and love him.
Yes.
Period.
Yes. Yeah, like, he gets serious. Well, we're still going to be friends. Like, he was more worried about saving his friendship with Brett Favre than his relationship with his quarterback.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't agree with him, you're right. Like, here again, even if he agrees with everything Brett said, he has to have the wherewithal to be the face of a billion-dollar organization.
Yeah,
right. Really? You know what needs to come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
I know.
Right. Hey, love you both, fellas. Keep it up.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Andrew. Tony in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
You know what? I would love to be a fly on the wall when they have dinner or lunch at his house. Because if Brett Favre said that to him at the table, I honestly believe he would have said, yeah, you know, you're right. Since nobody's going to hear this, I wish I didn't have Carson. I wish I could have kept Swoles instead of Carson. But because he was on this press conference, and like you said, after the third time, he had to throw up that mess. And I'm going to tell you something else. Now Carson's probably going to be playing to see what other team he can impress, because I'm going to tell you now,
he's gone.
Not feel like my coach wants me here.
Nah. Yeah, he's gone. It's the Jalen Hurts quarterback next year. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't see how in the world you could go forward. They clearly, in every way, first of all, they drafted Hurts. So that's number one. And number two, they treated this guy like a pariah the whole year. He's never backed them. So it's clear they're going to move him at the end of the year.
That's so sad, man, because I'm going to tell you now, I looked at it like this. When I first kept looking at Carson Wentz playing, he reminded me like he had the ghost of quarterback's past in his heart, meaning the two, which was number five, who reminded me that he was scared to throw on that first read, so he was scared to throw interceptions, so he holds on to the ball. That's why he fumbles a lot. But then he also reminded me of Foles saying, Foles came in and won a Super Bowl when I was supposed to do it. Now I got to make sure I do it so the fans and the people here can love me. And him playing with that in his mind and heart is messing his game up. So, but now after all of this, I don't even think it's going to matter. Dude, play your game, and if they get rid of you, you're going to wind up going to a team that's going to love you and appreciate you. That's all I got to say about that.
Tony, thanks, my brother. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you, pal. We appreciate it. I'm, quite frankly, I'm at a loss for words, man. Three times. And then you go, yeah. Don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, you got Chesty on the third one.
All right, dude. All right. Like, this isn't blow stuff out of proportion. Are we stupid? Like, seriously, you guys aren't dumb, all right? We have a smart fan base. We have a plugged-in fan base. You guys see right through it. We all do. We'll come back. All your calls the rest of the day. Listen, life's coming at us hard these days, right? We go 100 miles an hour, stressed out, especially after bad news conferences, exhausted, run down, dehydrated, headaches and body aches, and working overtime to protect ourselves from getting sick. So I needed a positive way to recharge and refuel, and I found it. That's right, Exceva Vitamin Infusion Therapy. It's been a game changer for me, flooding your body with the vitamins and nutrients, amino acids, and hydration you need to boost your immune system, elevate your mood, elevate your energy level, replenish your reserves. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. You got to check it out. Exceva. We're talking vitamins and nutrients and hydration administered by a board-certified nurse at one of Exceva's modern infusion suites. We relax in a massage chair. You just feel better. You recharge your energy. And hydration is so important. We don't drink enough water. I know I'm a coffee guy, this and that. Tell you, this is it. Exceva. Go to Exceva.com. Learn more about Exceva's vitamin therapy. You're going to love it. That's AXIVA.com. Exceva. Replenish, recharge, relief.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11 o'clock hour, brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Carson's going to speak at noon. Now, you watch, it's like my father said, he's going to say all the right things.
He's going to be an angel.
He'll be the gentleman, say all the right things. I mean,
end up making Brett Favre seem right because he's that nice. He'll be like, you know what? I respect Brett Favre. He's a Hall of Famer. I looked up to him. You know,
yeah.
he knows what he's watching. I do suck. They should have. Like, he'll make it out that Brett Favre is actually correct because he's so nice.
Oh, my God.
And I'm glad that he and Doug have such a strong friendship. And I just hope one day I can be a part of it and we can go hunting together.
How hard is it to answer those questions? I mean, hey, I don't want to lose the yo's. It's Veterans Day, and I got to send a yo out to Derek DeMoro. Derek is an Air Force veteran, and he's also helps volunteer his time and a lot of others to help our veterans in need. So, Derek, you get a big yo, brother. That's the way to do it, man. Also, I want to give a yo to my man, Dr. Kim. And Dr. Kim, who delivered my son, Anthony, 11 years ago. And Dr. Kim is a great man. In fact, he just delivered a baby boy, Jordan, which is beautiful, just now.
Oh, that's awesome.
He just delivered Dr. Kim. God bless him. He's doing God's work. All right, back to the story at hand. I gotta tell you, I can't believe how that thing went. I mean, I've been at a lot of news conferences, man. When a coach's buddy rips the quarterback, it's easy, right? The protocol's easy. Protocol is, yeah, I disagree with his opinion. He's entitled to it, but, I believe in Carson, and Carson's going to prove him wrong. Bang!
Hey, he did say that, Ant. Oh, wait, that was the third time he said it.
What are we doing? It was like he could not bring himself to say that he wanted Foles. Like, it was like he could admit that he couldn't even lie to say he wanted Wentz. I mean, that's what it strikes me as. Either that or he's co-type. And I don't know right now. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Carlos, how's it going?
What's happening, buddy?
I still just can't believe and comprehend what I just heard in that press conference. I mean, I had a point before I heard the press conference, but I just have to get this off my chest. I mean, there's been
0-8 coaches that have supported their quarterbacks more than what Doug Peterson just did with Carson Wentz. I mean, you got a 3-4-1 team that's leading in the division that has a winnable game on Sunday and a back half of a season where, you know, if you have a run going, who knows what happens? You could end up, you know, maybe 9-6-1, maybe, you know, 10-5-1 if we're lucky, if we go on a run. But to completely throw your quarterback under the bus at 3-4-1 with record, when you have an opportunity to give him a feel good going into a big divisional game.
Exactly.
Come out.
Exactly.
I've never heard of it. Like, cuz I've never heard of this.
I've heard
0-8 teams, 0-8 coaches be like, yeah, you know, this is my guy. You know, he's our quarterback, and we're going to stick with him. How do you not do that with I'm dumbfounded right now.
Dumb is the operative word. I mean, there's nothing else. What are you supposed to say after listening to that? How are we as Eagles fans supposed to have confidence in that guy going forward?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, because like before that press conference, I was going to come on this and say that I think that this might have been a story plant by Doug to try and get fans off of Wentz's back, because before the bye, all you heard was Wentz sucks. You know, Wentz is turning the ball over. You know, he's
leading the charge, man.
Yeah, you know, he leads the league in turnovers. You know, put in Jalen Hurts, and to me, I was like, all right, maybe Doug's doing a story plant here to try and get, you know, everybody to come together to support Wentz, because, you know, this story is basically making all the fans come together to support Wentz, which is what you want. But then this press conference happens, and it completely blew what I was going to say out of the water, because he straight up was asked, what do you think of his comments? Like, oh, I respect his comments.
It was like he was so afraid to somehow putting his friendship with Favre in jeopardy, let alone over his relationship with his quarterback.
Because I don't even know where they go. I mean, what is Wentz? What is he thinking right now after hearing his coach not once but twice say that basically I wanted the other guy over me?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I you're right, Steve. You're right. Thank you, brother. You're right. I don't understand this. Am I in a Twilight Zone?
I think so, because there are people on social media that go, he did say that Carson's his guy.
Like, three times.
Yeah, after two follow-ups.
Listen to me. Three times. Are you kidding me? What are you guys talking about? Listen, you could say the sky's blue on a sunny day on social media, people disagree. How could you be that blind not to see this? This was nonsense. Forget about Wentz. Wentz is irrelevant almost to the conversation. Do you trust Doug Peterson as a leader after he couldn't even think on his feet quick enough to say, yeah, he's my guy? That it took him three times and he got saved. If Rob Motti doesn't ask that question, that's how it ends. Chaz, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Chaz?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yo, I called to totally talk about something else with Wentz, but hearing that, man, yo, this guy's an idiot.
Right?
Yeah, he's an idiot. I don't know how you don't support your quarterback right now. And, you know, I get it, Favre's your guy and everything, but you need to, in that moment, man, like, yo, it's halfway through the season. You got to say, listen, that's Favre's opinion. I don't share it. I'm going to call Mater, you know, talk to him, because I think he put me in a bad spot. But Wentz is my guy.
Exactly.
You know? And he's been here before. He's been in this town before. So I don't know what he doesn't get about that.
I, I, I mean, listen, the town didn't make the story up. His buddy ripped Wentz, said they should have had Foles, said they should have cut bait with the guy. I mean, this is not the town making something out of nothing. This is not that at all. He's had to answer for Favre. And he didn't back his quarterback up until the third try.
Once it comes out, you definitely got to call your man and say, yo, listen, man, like, because I'm of the belief that I think that he probably did tell him that, but you got to call your man and say, yo, don't do that, man. Like, you know the position I'm in. Like, come on, man.
Exactly.
I don't know if you remember, man. Me and my friend used to live around the corner. Well, my friend used to live around the corner from you, man. I just remember being young when you used to live around the corner from South Street.
Yeah!
We would put up a court, and you, like, came, and you, like, saw us, and we were like, yo, cuz, we used to call when you on the other side.
I remember you were down the other end of the street.
Yeah. Me and my friend Nick. Yeah,
man. I remember that, bro. Wow. That was good times, man.
Thanks, cuz.
Great stuff, Chaz. See you, brother. Let's go to Aaron in West Philly. Yo, Aaron, what'd you think of that?
I know what it is. I called you. I called you, and I used to tell you that Doug don't like Carson. I told you that. And you kind of like, oh, man,
yeah, right.
You know, everybody, I'm hearing it, that you know they get. Anybody can get along at a job and act like you like somebody, right? But when you get asked about, you did a witness test. You did a kind of test and said if somebody was talking about your man, you know what I mean? You would go and talk to him about it, right? You would say, yo, you can't talk to him like that.
Right.
You can't talk to him unless bring it to a space or something, try to clear the air. He didn't want to clear the air until he got pinned down to clear the air. I know he doesn't have Carson's back. I told you this a while ago. He doesn't have Carson's back. He'll say, you know, in public, when you get pushed to, he's my quarterback. No kidding, he's your quarterback. No kidding, he's on the team. He's a quarterback. You can say Hurts is his quarterback. He's on the team. That don't hold weight to me because you say you're my quarterback. Okay? You could have just cleared it up real quick. Listen, I don't care what he said. And I don't even respect his opinion because that's not my opinion. That's my guy. We're riding with him. He didn't want to do that.
No,
he wanted to protect.
He was afraid to offend Favre.
But here's the golden line. Here's something that I think Philadelphia fans need to know. Carson Wentz is not a weak man. He's not a weak man. I don't think, you know, we think a lot of things affect him. But I don't think things affect him like he thinks. You know what I mean? Because I've heard him talk. I've heard him talk about his faith. I know some other stuff, right? He doesn't fall into what people think and what all that. He's going to go out there and do the best he can to be the best quarterback he can and do it efficiently. So he ain't going to throw nobody under the bus. We don't have a whiny quarterback. We don't have nobody that's going to throw you under the bus or nothing like that. He just want to do a good job. He just pressures himself too much to do a good job. But but Peterson, I told you, I believe he doesn't like him.
Yeah,
I just say he doesn't like him.
But here's the thing. It's fine. Listen, it's fine if Doug doesn't like Carson. They don't have to like each other. But here's the thing. You're going into the second half of the season. Why did it take you three times to extinguish something that's not? It's like he looked at the fire. And he went, let me just, let me throw some Jack Daniels on it.
And what did he say? That's all I got to say about it. That's the end of it. And all this old stuff, that's the end
of
it.
Get the hell out of here, man.
You know why he say that? Because, you know, it's more to it than that. That's the end of it. I don't want you to come bringing out too much stuff.
Yeah, whatever. Dude.
I don't want you coming here. You know what I mean? That's just how it goes, man.
I hear you, brother.
Don't like the kid, man, but the kid is going to be here, and he's going to do great things, man. I'll just leave
it. I don't know. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Dwayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Dwayne.
What's up? Hey, first of all, I'm going to say I couldn't be one of those media guys asking Doug the question because the whole, it's going to be a problem thing, I bite back.
I know. I know.
I can't do it. And then the last, when he said, "Have you ever played football?" He'd be asking them, "See, yeah. I would get fired." But anyway,
yeah, I hear you, bro. See, the problem is you can't. There's a decorum that you have to have. Listen, I've been in those situations.
Okay,
you know, it's a tough spot.
To me, it's a respect. It is, and I get it. But
I know. Cool. You got guys that don't respect you, and you go, "Listen, I'm a man. Like, I what are you talking about, dude?" You know,
yeah.
Please don't put words in my mouth.
Right.
Talk about hollow. Give me a break with that nonsense. Take that down the street.
Yeah. I gotta believe Doug. I can't believe that Doug is that dumb. So in my mind,
I don't know. I don't know. He doesn't think well on his feet. He doesn't. I mean, that's why some of those moronic plays that he does, those ridiculous, silly, stupid things during the course of a game that you go, "What are you doing?" Because he can't think on his feet. I'm not saying he's dumb, but he's not quick on his feet. Clearly.
But he was supposed to say what he said at the end of the meeting, at the beginning when they first asked the question. And you should have killed it right there, like you guys said. But my thing is, Howie, Lurie, somebody got to say, "Yo, Doug." And Doug's got to. That's why I wonder if either Doug wants out or is, because it just don't.
Where's he going to go? I mean, what do you mean he wants out? Go ahead. I mean, really, if he wants out, see ya.
Yeah, because it's like you can't say that, if I'm Wentz, I'm like, "Yo, dude. You're causing now you're putting more pressure on Wentz to be great." You know, he's already got the Nick Foles thing. They drafted Jalen Hurts. It's like you keep adding problems to your team they don't need. That's why I got to be like, something is up with what's going on in that organization with Wentz, Doug, or something, because I understand what you're saying, but he can't be that dumb. He can't be. He just can't be.
I don't know.
That's all I have.
Harvitz. So who knows? I don't know.
Right.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. I mean, these dudes aren't splitting atoms. Let's be real here for a second. Be a football coach. All right. No one's come up with a vaccine for the coronavirus. And believe me, I'm not throwing stones because I'm not doing that either. I'm just talking sports. So I'm not that smart either. However, I'd be smart enough to know that I would answer those questions differently. Unless he's a famous colonel. Is that right, Tunis?
I'm just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. We are friends, but I haven't talked to him, and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, I'll leave it at that.
Just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
All right. That was awesome because it did feel like that. But Colonel Jessup, I want him on that wall. Right?
Yes.
See, Colonel Jessup is a guy that I looked at and went, there is a competent guy, right? He exudes competency. I called my sister to have dinner. Right? Like, he exudes competency. Does Doug exude competency?
Nah, he seems to struggle at that sometimes.
And that's why I've been dubious throughout this whole period. I mean, listen, he won a Super Bowl, and I'm grateful for that. But the way he has handled this stuff, the way he has handled his news conferences, the way he is coached, I don't see it. And then you can blame all you want about Wentz, and that's fine. Well, let's see how. Let's see where they're at after they trade Wentz, and it's hurt. You know, who knows? Maybe they're in a better place. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, cuz?
What's happening, Marky?
Listen, before I get into what I think of Doug Peterson, let me take a shot at Brett Favre real quick. He wanted Nick Foles over Carson Wentz after Carson Wentz's third year. Carson Wentz's third year in the league, he threw 21 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Brett Favre's third year in the league, he threw 18 touchdowns and 25 interceptions. So I don't understand how Brett Favre, coming off of Carson Wentz's third year, can try and dignify that Nick Foles was better than Wentz.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's
so
stupid.
He knows.
He watched him play. He's seen him struggle in Chicago. Come on, it's stupid.
It's ridiculous. So with Doug Peterson, I mean, I feel like the man, he's clueless. When you go look back at 2018, I mean, did he really win us that Super Bowl? Did he really get us there? Was he the mastermind behind those play callings that put the players in the position to win? Look at it now. Obviously, it's DeFilippo and Frank Reich were the reasons. Because now you're looking at this team, even though I think we beat up on the Giants on Sunday, give the team a little bit of life. But he had like a couple callers back, said he had the opportunity to not only kill the fire that was the media storm Brett Favre brought the media storm that was those ignorant comments. He could have just motivated Carson Wentz to prove everybody wrong.
Yes.
And it's just like a head scratcher. I don't understand it either.
I don't get it. It seems so elemental.
I tried to like enjoy, maybe I could hear a Doug Peterson press conference where like he makes a little bit of sense. But I lose trust in him every time he gets behind the microphone.
I know.
It's like he talks with his hand in his mouth. He doesn't want to say things. And he's scared to commit to it. Like, commit to your guy. And now I actually owe Howie Roseman a huge apology, because after this presser, I firmly believe that Doug Peterson was the man that made pick 53. That is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I hear you, brother. Marky, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I have no answers either. It's there for you. It's on a silver platter. You know how to answer it. Takes you three times? I thought the same thing. Caller called up and said, when the cock crows three times, I thought the same thing. I went, look at this. He's going to get a third time. Finally, he took the bait. Wow. Great job to Les Bowen and Tim McManus and Rob Motti and those guys. It's hard. I mean, nobody wants to be confrontational. You just want to do your job and talk about football. It's a shame. But, oof. All right. Now I got to get in shape. Let's talk NJ Diet. That's right. NJ Diet. It takes only 40 days. You ready to lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds with NJ Diet? Their program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, and blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to help you keep it off for the rest of your life. You're not sure you can do it alone? I understand. Listen, it's hard. I know. All of a sudden, you turn around, you go, whoa. Well, NJ Diet's with you every step of the way. You're fully monitored by their certified staff to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water. You'll also have access to the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet is all natural. No shots, no hormones, no surgery. NJ Diet offers live online video consultations and also has locations throughout the Northeast, including Princeton and now open in Cherry Hill. Lose 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days, contractually guaranteed. Visit NJDiet.com or call 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, so Carson is up next. So my guess is he's going to be the perfect gentleman when he's asked about Brett Favre and then his coach, and then he's just going to be Carson, which is why a lot of us like him. But trust me on this, guys. Carson is irrelevant to what Doug's news conference was about. He really is, because, listen, if they believe that Carson is not the guy, that's their prerogative. If they believe Wentz is not the guy and they want to move on to Jalen Hurts, that's their prerogative. They run the football team, right? That's the decision they would make in the offseason. But in the second time when Les Bowen says, here you go, just to be sure, Brett Favre's wrong, right? You didn't want to keep Nick Foles. He never denounces it. So here you go. Like, all you got to do is say, yeah, Carson's my guy. No, I didn't want Nick Foles. That's all you got to say. And he didn't do it. Twice. And for those people that are upset or mad, saying that we're blowing this out of proportion, guys, I beg to differ on this thing. All right? I know you're an Eagles fan. I am too. And I want them to succeed. I think Doug Peterson is a nice guy. All right? I have nothing against him. I think he's a nice guy, nice man. I want them to win. I want them to do well. But I'm sorry. I can't be a sheep. All right? I can't be a lemming. You guys are smart. Think for yourself. Not everything the organization does is correct. Not everything they do is smart. Not everything they do is right. And it's my job to call it the way I see it, without agenda. Even though I like Howie, I've known Howie for 20 years. I genuinely love Howie. He's a great guy. All right? Now, that doesn't mean he gets off the hook of my eyes for not taking DK Metcalf. Now, it was medical or whatever you want to call it. But that's the bottom line. I think Doug Peterson's a nice man. He brought us the Super Bowl. But that doesn't excuse this. I expect competency out of my leaders. And I don't see it. And if you don't, maybe you should take off the Eagles goggles. That's it. Take them off and think for yourself. Dustin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, cuz, man. Yo, I know I'm up against this press conference, but Eagles PR people, if you're listening, do not let Carson get on that mic today. You people are stupid. He's already been put on the bus twice. Why do it again? He's going to come out and do exactly what you guys said. That's a given. We talked about it before when Doug got hired. Me and you had conversations. I wanted a coach, like a head coach. I did not want a coordinator. And I questioned Doug after his stint with the Chiefs, messing up play calling. And over the last 2 years, he's done nothing but convince me that he's a dope. Like he's, and then I'm also questioning, is it Carson a dope or Doug a dope? I don't know. Are they both dopes? I don't know. Is it the dopey dope rope? I don't know what's going on here, cuz. They both are making wrong decisions, and they both are looking like morons in front of the public eye. Let's not talk about Carson.
All right, we got Carson, so I don't want to name call. I want to back off of that. But here's Carson.
Hi, Carson. I want to start off by asking you about the communication and how that's been. The pre-snap stuff, you know, picking up blitzes and adjusting routes and where you are with that and, you know, how much improvement you feel can be in for in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think pre-snap communication, huddle communication, I think it's been pretty solid. You know, I think it's been pretty good at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, you know, you've seen us play at the line of scrimmage a good bit. And, you know, having a guy like Jason Kelce be the one kind of mainstay up front, and the job that he's done in the communication has been excellent. And, you know, we got a lot of young guys on both up front and then, you know, at our skill position. So it can always improve and we can always communicate better. But I do think that's been a positive so far with what we've been doing.
Okay, Pat Gallen and then John Clark.
Hey, Carson. 2017 was obviously, you know, your best year, almost an MVP type season before you got hurt. Do you, in times when you feel like you might be struggling, do you ever go back and find games or plays and maybe rewatch them to try and regenerate some of what you were doing back then?
Not in depth. Maybe if it's an opponent that we play again or something like that, and just see, hey, you know, this was a really good game or this or that, but nothing in depth by any means. You know, that is stuff you watch in the off seasons. You know, you kind of go back, okay, where can I improve from really my rookie year? You know, I've every off season watched stuff from rookie year, 17, 18, 19, all of those things. So that probably happens more then, but you know, every now and then you'll peek some things here and there.
Okay, John Clark and then Jeff McClain.
Hey, Carson, you've been sacked more than any QB so far this year. First of all, the bye week, does that do pretty well for you physically? And then secondly, getting healthy on the offensive line, maybe getting Isaac back and then Miles Sanders with his blocking ability. How much does that maybe give you more of a comfort level and maybe being more relaxed as far as the amount of time you have to run the offense?
Yeah, I mean, the first part of the question, I think the bye week is, you know, great for everybody, mentally and physically. Coming in the middle of the season when it did for us, I think was great. You know, body definitely feels rejuvenated and ready to go. So I'm thankful for that. And yeah, it's exciting to get some of these guys back, hopefully. You know, we'll kind of see how it plays out this week. But just the idea of getting some of these guys back is encouraging and it kind of motivates the offense. And, you know, I know whether they're out there or the other guys, you know, I have nothing but trust and confidence in those guys. And, you know, a lot of those sacks that have, you know, been happening this year, there's things I can do better. There's communication that I can do better. I can get rid of the ball quicker. And there's just different things on every play. So I'll be confident in whoever's out there. But it is exciting and encouraging to think, you know, maybe we'll start getting some of these guys back.
Hey, Jeff McClain and then Kristen Rogers.
Hey, Carson, sorry to regurgitate the Dallas game, but we haven't spoken to you since you saw the film. On the second interception to Hightower after the game, you said it was a miscommunication thing in terms of the angle of the throw. And just watching it, I wasn't sure if that's something that you still felt was the issue there, if you should have thrown it more, if he was running a deep post. And can you describe how the, you know, the communication process has been with you and John, because so many of your throws beyond 20 yards have been targeted to him?
Yeah, I mean, the communication with John and I has been really good. You know, he's got a lot of confidence in me. I got a lot of confidence in him. And, you know, that was just one, you know, in hindsight, I love the decision. I just don't, you know, like where I put the ball. You know, that's what happens. And, you know, I could have thrown it more to the middle field, and that's football. You know, I couldn't get a good read on it when I let it fly. And that happens, and we're going to stay aggressive. But obviously, we've got to be smart in those situations and just play fast. But I feel really confident throwing the ball down the field to John. And, you know, he's got a lot of faith in me as well. So we're going to hit more of those than we won't.
Kristen Rogers and Dave Zangaro.
Hey, Carson. So obviously you guys played the Giants just a few weeks ago. You know, what have you seen as you look back on in their games since you last played them? And how much do you kind of have to remember that the Giants, you know, they led for essentially three quarters of that Thursday night football game? How have you seen that, you know, kind of change up until now?
Yeah, you know, even thinking back to the first time we played them, I was, you know, very impressed with their defense on film. And I think really, you know, our game and how we obviously moved the ball but struggled to put up points and rallied late. And then really these last couple of weeks, you know, their defense, I think, just keeps improving. And I think, you know, a new scheme and a new system, I think every week they've improved. So I have a lot of respect for their, you know, their D coordinator and what they do on that side of the ball. So for us, it's just executing and taking what they give us. They're going to mix up coverages. They're going to play the same types of coverages, but do it a couple different ways. And, you know, they're very disciplined. They're very disciplined. So I have a lot of respect and, you know, it'll be a good one for us. But like I said, we just got to execute and do our jobs. I know that sounds cliche, but against a defense like this, that's going to kind of just play their soft zone coverage and you know, make you earn it. That's what it's going to come down to, is taking care of the ball and just executing our stuff.
Dave Zangaro and then Ed Benkin.
Hey, Carson, in that Dallas game, you had Travis Fulgham and Jalen Reagor out there together for the first time. With these last eight games, are you kind of looking forward to seeing if these two can be two players you can grow grow with over the next few years?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, those two, you know, Hightower, you know, all these guys, I'm excited about because we're, you know, honestly, we're learning and growing together on the fly. You know, usually you have off season, you have the spring, you get some summer workouts together, then you get training camp, and training camp was even limited this year, and Travis came late. And so all those things, we're kind of growing our chemistry and our communication on the fly. And it's been exciting and encouraging to see. Obviously, we can be better. I can be better and be, you know, more on the same page with these guys. But it is encouraging to see them, you know, step up and make big plays. And, you know, I think the second half of the season, I think you'll keep seeing more of it.
Ed Benkin and then Zach Berman.
Hi, Carson. You talked about that emotional break along with the physical break of the bye week. Was it a good chance to take some time to maybe look over some things you can correct, or was it better for you just to kind of shut it off, dive into family time, and really just kind of mentally get away from football?
Yeah, it's both. You know, you look early in the week, you know, you watch the film and you kind of, you know, we came in and had a practice and everything, and you definitely have a couple days to kind of reflect and think, you know, offensively as a whole, where can we do better personally? What can I do better? Where can I, you know, change my game to some extent, or have little things that, you know, are happening that we can kind of correct and fix? And then obviously, like you said, it's a lot of family time. It's a lot of just getting away and taking a deep breath and, you know, recharging for the second half of the season. Because obviously you don't get to see your family a whole bunch during the grind of the season. So it's definitely appreciated and much needed in the middle of the season like that.
Is Zach Berman and then Martin Frank.
Hey, Carson, I know you don't determine the playing time, but your voice does matter in the building. As Alshon gets closer here, how do you get him the snaps he might need without it coming at the detriment of some of these wide receivers who are starting to really developing and find a rhythm in the offense?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and that's something that we're going to keep, you know, exploring as we go. You know, for one, like you said, I don't make the decisions at the end of the day on those things, but I think as he continues to work back in and everything, we kind of see where he's at within our offense and how we can use him and mix him in with these other guys. And it is a fine line, and there's really no right or wrong answer there. But, you know, at the end of the day, the guys that are going to help us win are the guys that are going to be on the field. And the only thing I'd say about Alshon that is encouraging is we've had a lot of banked reps over the years, you know. So we've worked together, we've played together for a while. Obviously, that's been missing now for a good while. But, you know, I think we have a lot of confidence in each other. So however much he's out there and utilized, I'm confident in it.
Martin Frank and then Rob Motti.
Hey, Carson. So when you were talking about like self scouting and everything, what did you learn from, you know, watching the film, especially like with regards to the turnovers and stuff over the first half of the season?
Yeah, it's a fine line of walking that fine line of aggressiveness and, you know, just eating a play, you know, throwing it away and those sorts of things. And honestly, that's the fine line. I've said it over and over and over and over, is that I'll continue to walk for my career. But, you know, it is some of the fumbles, that some of them are just happenings, but other times it's okay, just throw it away, you know, just live to fight another down. And some of the interceptions are just being really aggressive and trying to force a play that maybe isn't there. And so those are things, not all of them, you know, interceptions and turnovers are going to happen, and I'm aware of that, but there's definitely a handful of them that I can look introspectively at and say, okay, I just eat that, just call it a day, live to fight another down. And I'm going to work on doing that.
Rob Motti and then Les Bowen.
Carson, could there be such a thing as having too many voices, too many people trying to tell you what to do, how to do it? And how do you process that? How do you know who to tune in, what to tune out, and what you need to be focused on?
Yeah, I mean, I think in any profession and any situation, having too many voices in your head can definitely be an issue. I think, you know, we've done a good job around here of, you know, not overdoing that. And, you know, for me, I have, you know, coach, starting with coach, and then, you know, a handful of others that we're trying to be all on the same page. And it's not so much like he has an opinion and I have an opinion and this, that, and the other. We're trying to really build this thing together and be all on the same page. So I think we've done a pretty good job of that. But absolutely, that can be a concern if you let it, you know, go south in a hurry.
Les Bowen and then EJ Smith. These will be our last two.
Hey, Carson. I think one thing that frustrates fans is they don't really get a sense sometimes on the turnovers of what you're thinking, what your view of the situation was. And I wanted to even though it's been a while now, the Dallas game, that first fumble, it looked like you saw the safety coming towards you. Maybe you were trying to get Dallas Goedert to go out a little bit. And I think fans were kind of yelling, both hands on the ball, both hands on the ball. And, you know, you ended up fumbling. How did you see that situation? How did it feel to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's one that I definitely, you know, want back. And, you know, A, that's behind me, so I'm not trying to overanalyze it. But B, you know, I was about to throw that ball. And, you know, I wasn't on the same page as my receiver. And at the end of the day, I was caught with the ball up here in an awkward spot and, you know, put it in harm's way. So that's stuff that, you know, sometimes it's trying to force a play and do too much that I can look at and just, you know, be smart and maybe eat it, throw it away, take a sack, whatever that is.
Hey, we'll end it here with EJ.
Hey, Carson, I'm wondering if you saw what Brett Favre said on ESPN about if the Eagles should have stuck with Nick Foles instead of going forward with you, and if so, what your thoughts were.
I did not. So maybe you can enlighten me, or at the end of the day, it's really whatever. I mean, everyone has their opinion, so I don't know.
Okay. Thanks, Carson. Thanks, awesome. Everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Well, there was at the end – we got the elephant in the room. No. I kind of felt bad for him at the end. He's like, no. Somebody I've had to tell him, right? Like the media relations staff would have to say, hey, look, this is what's going on. So if they ask you, if the media ask you, then be ready for it. I don't know. I don't understand. I just... Andrew, do you understand?
No, I don't. I still don't understand. I still don't understand how people can be upset and thinking that we're blowing things over proportion. I'm now seeing stuff on social media where shame on the media for asking Doug three times. And I'm like, what? Shame on the media? They're giving him the out. They're Doug. Like, Rob Motti, in his question, literally said, I'm giving you an opportunity to clarify what you're saying.
Shame on the media.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you stupid? Like, really? Like, now I have to question, if that's your attitude, then I'm sorry. I you're challenged. What are you talking about? It's a pretty easy answer. Am I insane? Like, what are you thinking? What do you mean, shame on the media for doing their job? And you're right, Andrew. They did Doug a service, not a disservice, a service. A service. Listen to the way Les Bowen asked the question to Doug.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business. You said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion.
Okay,
I respect Brett's opinion.
Okay, forget it. What's wrong with that question? It's actually a respectful question, right? Yeah. Like, he could have been nasty about it and said, hey, Doug, you didn't have your quarterbacks back yet again. He could have been like that. He didn't. He was respectful. He asked a question. He goes, listen, you know, I just want to clarify this. And then play Rob's question. Because Rob's almost like laughing because he can't believe that it's now three times they got to ask the question before the coach will actually have the quarterbacks back.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said, just want to give you a final opportunity
to
clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts.
Like, it's incredulous.
They weren't your thoughts when the decision had to be made.
That's my point. How's it shame on those guys? They're doing them a favor. They gave them another out. Yep. They're throwing them life preservers. They're like throwing them like a Frisbee into the water. As he's drowning in his nine words. What are you, stupid? How could you think that the media is at fault?
Shame on them. Damn it.
Whatever. All right. Tunis, we'll come back. And listen, you call. We'll have a conversation. You can get your point out. I literally do not understand it at all, but try to explain it. It's Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And this is Andrew Salchunas. Add a little excitement this football season. Bet all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Their app is so easy to use. They've got unique and fun bet types like same-game parlays, and they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 if you don't win your first bet. There are no strings attached. Looking at Sunday, I love the Birds, 3.5-point favorites. I don't know if I think they cover, so I might actually buy down to the 2-2.5 range because I think it could be a field goal game. But if you don't want to wait until Sunday, Thursday night, tomorrow night, I love Tennessee to cover the 1.5 against Indy. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, now's the time. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Fanatic. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code Fanatic. FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win. Must be 21 plus and present New Jersey or PA. First online real money wager only. Site card is not withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Tunis. By the way, Natalie, and of course the Mike Missinelli Show coming up at 2 o'clock. I was about to say 3 o'clock. I was having a flashback to when Mike was on at 3 to 7. Mikey's coming up at 2 o'clock, and Natalie is rocking the new Sixer jerseys. She looks great in it.
Yeah, it looks good.
I like the jersey. You don't. I know you don't. So, you wanted more of the Iverson, which I understand. Like, I get it. But this was, I liked it. I don't know. Everybody was ripping it. I like the jersey.
All right. So here's seeing it on Natalie.
It looks really good.
It looks cool. Right?
But you know, where the name is at the bottom.
So this is what I said to Natalie during the break. I said, it almost looks like something you would wear to a bar or a party, and I go, wow, that's awesome. Like, is that a Mitchell and Ness kind of thing? Like, what is that? But when I would see it on the court, like, if I actually see a team wearing it, I go, what are you guys doing? Like, it almost looks like a, you know, the minor league, you know, fancy jersey night. Like, I think it's really cool, and they're going to sell a lot of them. And I think a lot of people are going to be rocking them around the city. I think they're cool. I was just kind of hoping for my 0-1 jersey.
I think you'll get that at some point. I would guess.
I would hope so.
I thought it was cool. I think she looked great in it.
No, she does. It looks awesome.
You know, I like it. She said something. It was funny because I agree with her. I'd always thought about one of the most underrated parts of our city is Boathouse Row.
Yes.
Hey, it's awesome.
Especially during the holidays.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's beautiful. The lights. It's gorgeous. I love it.
And I like what they do, like if the Eagles are in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They'll do the green. Yeah.
And it's underrated. So I like them going with that as the muse. Going to Boathouse Row as the muse.
Yeah, it's nice.
I can't convince you. Well, you came a little bit.
I like the jerseys more than
yesterday. You were miserable.
Yeah. So. I like the jerseys more than what Doug Peterson said today. How's that sound?
Well, that's not saying much. All right, let's get to all of our people and see what they have to say. Brendan in Pottstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brent.
Hey, cuz, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, that was pretty rough. it's clear to me, man. Doug is a pretty passive aggressive dude at this point.
Yeah.
And I thought there was something interesting in what he said when he was initially at it, or when he finally clarified it, and finally when Rob asked him the question, he said, well, Carson's our guy, Carson's our pick. Now, he always kind of like mixes in stuff like that I yes. think he really means.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
By accident.
I thought the same thing. It stood out to me, too, when he said he's our pick.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, when you're a passive-aggressive dude who's not, like, mean, like, I don't really think he's got a mean bone in his body. I think he's passive-aggressive in the fashion, like, that he doesn't like being blamed for the problems, and he thinks that Carson's causing him. So he really wants that point to be known, you know, which can explain Favre leaking that information out there. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's like clear that he was letting you know what he's really inside his mind by saying he's our pick. You know, in other words, I'm tied to this guy because the franchise picked him second yeah. overall. But I don't really want him here, man. I want to turn the page.
Well, see, the thing that really stood out to me is the second question, right? Like the first time you could slough it off and go, well, all right, well, you know, He didn't really realize. He was just trying to get over it, and he was clumsy about it, but there was nothing nefarious, right?
Yeah.
The second question, and Les is respectful, and he lays out the question like, on, you want to put it on a tee, right? For the 16th hole of Augusta.
Softball of all softball. It was a beach ball.
Right. It's like, here you go. And he did his job, which is you got to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't put the coach in a bad spot. So all he had to do was hit the drive, right?
Yeah.
That's all you got to do. And he still wouldn't say it.
It's insane, and it makes you long for the days of Andy's press conferences, which is something I never, ever thought of.
No, Andy would have had his back. Andy always had everybody's back.
Sure, and Andy was also a master of controlling the press conference, i.e. saying nothing while saying something, and it drove us crazy, but it was, as you mentioned, quote-unquote presidential. I mean, having someone get up there and eloquently work their way through the press conference makes you feel comfortable that they're the steward of your franchise. And when they can't do it on a weekly basis, you just wonder what's going on behind closed doors.
Exactly. Thank you.
You
were eloquent in what you said, and better than I was. I don't understand why there's backlash. Like, I really don't. I don't understand what you guys are thinking here. What's the other side of it? I don't even see the other side of it.
No, neither do I.
It's clear that Doug doesn't like the quarterback, or it's not him, or whatever it is. You get two shots at it. There, after that, again, Rob Motti might not have even asked the question. He was the last question. So imagine if Rob doesn't even ask the question again. Right?
Yeah, and I don't get it. Like, a lot of people are saying, oh, well, he gave his answer. He respects, you know, Brett's opinion. They should have left it at that. But that's not a good enough answer. When your franchise quarterback is struggling, which he is, Carson Wentz is, a lot of people are trying to say, oh, well, maybe Carson shouldn't be telling the story himself with how he's playing. Listen, I get it. Carson Wentz is not playing well. But all Doug's got to do is say...
You just are Wentz haters.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
You just don't like the quarterback. You like Foles, and therefore you like Doug. And that's an agenda. But if you were actually to remove your brain from the agenda, from the opinion, you actually might get a clue and realize that it's dangerous. It's dangerous. If Doug can't figure it out, why he should just say, yeah, he's my guy. The first time, again, after the season... If he wants to replace Wentz, that's his prerogative.
Right.
If he and Howie get together and go, we're going to go Hurts. All right, well, they run the football team.
Right.
But why would you do it now? Why wouldn't you throw your support behind Wentz
when it's week nine.
And remember the question.
Week nine.
Remember the question. His opinion as his friend, as the Hall of Fame quarterback, was that they should have kept Foles. That was the question. You can't not answer that question.
So there was a couple of tweets. So Rob Motti actually tweeted out, maybe Doug was his first initial answer. He didn't want to rip his good friend in Brett Favre. And then Jeff McClain also kind of mentioned that as well. But everybody's sort of on the same page where you could have answered the question like, hey, Brett Favre, he's a friend of mine. He's entitled to his opinion. But, and then you give the answer that you gave after the third question. Carson's our guy. He's our leader. We're going to try to get, you know, to the playoffs with him.
Forget Forget whether you like or dislike Carson Wentz. Shouldn't the coach be more concerned with the relationship he has with his quarterback as opposed to offending Brett Favre?
Yes.
He was bending over backwards not to offend Brett Favre. Bleep Brett Favre, all right? Listen, all he's got to say is, hey, man, it's my man. I disagree with him. Carson's going to prove him wrong.
Yep. That's all.
It's that simple. Why has it got to be that?
And he knew the question was coming.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you knew that. Well, you weren't caught off guard by that question.
They're sharp people at the NovaCare.
Yes, they are.
Calvin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Calvin.
What's up there, cuz?
How are you, Cal? What do you say, buddy?
Oh, man. I'm great, man. Listening to everybody else, man. My input is this. I've been in enough arguments with people and having to check people in my life. And when you get a situation like this where you see a guy said something and somebody didn't correct them or check them, and you have to check the person. Anytime you hear a person constantly say that person's entitled to their opinion, what he's really telling you is, I agree with the person, but I'm too much of a coward to tell you that. And see, Doug has two problems. He's dumb and he's a coward. And a dumb coward is a dangerous person.
See, I just want to be clear. Like, I don't want to get this into going below. It's not right to call names. You know what I'm saying?
I'll take the name back, but you understand my point.
I understand your point. I do. I just don't want it to get into the sewer. You know what I'm saying?
I get out the sewer and come up to the street level. But the point is this, man. This guy didn't defend his quarterback, and he doesn't say what he really thinks, and he thinks we're stupid. I guess that's what I'm really trying to say.
Yeah.
He thinks Philadelphia people are stupid. And another thing I want to tell you. I wish I was interviewing him when he says, I used to play in the league. No. When he says, did you ever play football? Whatever he says, I would tell him, did you? Because all I remember him having was a clean jersey and a clipboard.
Yeah, I know. I mean, listen, it's disrespectful. It is. It's really lowbrow to go that route. I've always thought it was. But if you're media, you were always taught that you're not the story. So it sucks, but you got to swallow it because it's about professionalism.
Well, that's why I guess I don't have that job, man.
I hear you, bro. I get you, man. I hear you, my man. You're good. Everything good, Cal?
I'm too real for the job, man.
I know.
Yeah, man. No, I'm good, man. My health is good. Everything is good, man.
Go. God bless. Be safe out there, all right?
Okay.
Thanks, Cal. Appreciate it. Don't forget, we are doing Yo's to our veterans out there. So if you have a veteran, I yo'd my father earlier to start the show. If you have a veteran out there in the family that you would like to yo, please, we want to give our shout out and our admiration on this Veterans Day. VT Ron. Well, hello, Ronnie. What do you say, buddy?
Hello, Mr. Gargano. My man, Possum Pants.
What's going on,
What's
pal?
What's going on? Tune it. How you been? Hey, Ant, I got to weigh in on this. Hello. That's me. Hey, Ant, I got to weigh in on this.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you something. I look at it this way. If it takes you three times to answer correctly, something's wrong. Something's wrong in your mind. Because I'm sure, and you and Andrew touched on it just a little bit ago, he is prepared to go into that press conference. He knows that statement was made by Favre, talking about Doug. And if he knows the statement was made, and he gets into the press conference, and he's asked the first time, he needs to quell it right there. He needs to say, hey, look, just like y'all been saying, I respect Favre, he's a good friend of mine, but Carson's my guy, Carson is our quarterback, and we move forward with him. You do not tiptoe away from it, not once, not twice, but the third time. And I don't understand where Philadelphia people are coming from and not back the media on this one. My goodness, it was spoon-fed the answer to Doug, and it took him three times to answer it. Now,
yeah, I'll be honest with you, I don't think this is a situation where there are sides, right? Like, I don't know. Listen, it's in your best interest as an Eagle fan for us to talk about this and for media to ask the question. I mean, it is.
Yeah,
don't you want to know?
The media could be really rough, but in this occasion, the media wasn't rough on him at all. They were very polite in the way they were asking him to try to get the correct answer out of him. I'm going to take it one step further. Everybody's saying cut bait with Carson at the end of the year. How about if we cut bait with Doug? How about we go that way? Maybe the front office sees this and they see that there's a problem, that there's a disconnect between Carson and Doug, and maybe the move, rather than shipping Carson off, is to get somebody in here that could bring in coaching, that could coach the kid up and make him what he was in the past. The kid's got everything. He's got it all together. My honest opinion, Anthony, and you've heard me say this before, if he's not coached up, he's not going to be good. He's not going to be good.
Yeah.
And that's where I am. I'm burning about this. I really am. I really am.
No, I understand. And, you know, here's the problem with if you throw your support fully behind Doug, the issue becomes, well, in 17, there was the Reich DeFilippo.
Go ahead.
And that's the problem. Like, so we don't know what Doug is without those two. Now, in fairness to Doug, they had a run when Foles took over for Carson in the second year. And that's it. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Is that enough for you to believe that it's a Peterson is that you want that it's a Wentz problem, not a Peterson problem?
Well, see, I'm the other way. I'm the other. I think it's a Peterson problem and not a Wentz problem, simply because the guy has regressed since we lost Reich, we lost DeFilippo, and I'm going to say, as much as I didn't like him, even grow, and he's going the other way. Carson's going the other way. To me, that tells me there's something wrong in the coaching.
I hear you, VT. Thanks, my brother. I appreciate it. Again, when we're looking at this thing, see, the other issue that we have is when Carson's played well, he's played well during things like tempo, right? He's played well when he is kind of going off the rails. And it's not the offense that Peterson wants to run. Now, again, I don't know. Maybe it's all on Carson. Again, I'm not taking any blame off of Wentz because, again, you got to take care of the ball, the whole thing. But when it comes to what's, you know, the chicken or the egg type of deal, where does fault lie other than, yeah, it lies on both men's shoulders? What's the real issue? Is Doug just not a good coach? And he can only coach a guy like if he has good assistants or I don't know. Or is, and that year was just lucky? Or is he a good coach and it's Wentz's fault and he is just not coachable? Now, one of the clues that Favre gives is that he says that Doug runs a simple offense. So is that simple offense more suited for a quarterback like Foles, who's got limited ability? Is a quarterback like Wentz too much for Peterson to build an offense around?
It's a fantastic question. It really is. It's a fascinating question. And hey, I'm just seeing more on social media regarding the answers from Doug Peterson. There are so many people. And it goes back to the Wentz hater thing. There are so many people that are responding with, well, maybe he's not having Carson's back because Carson's not playing well this year. And okay. I go, it doesn't matter. He's still your quarterback.
Yeah.
It's like saying,
well, let's address that for a second.
He's an employee of your company.
Let's address that for a second. See, you're right. Maybe Carson's not playing well and he's killing Doug, right? Doug's annoyed by Carson.
Right.
Maybe at the end of the year, they're going to go to Hurts. You have 8 games left in this season, and you're in first place. Doesn't it behoove you that if you're Doug Peterson to lie and say, yeah, well, Carson's my guy, and Carson's going to prove us wrong. And by the way, here's what you do. You also achieve putting the onus on Wentz. Like, if he was actually deft on his feet, he could actually achieve what he wants to achieve, which is saying, listen, he's my guy, and we're going to ride or die with Carson. Then if you die, you go, well, we got to go to Hurts.
Put it all on him, and it didn't work out.
But that's if you could think quickly on your feet, which evidently has been a problem with this coach. I mean, we see it every Sunday.
But it's not even thinking quick on your feet.
I know.
You were prepared for that question.
I know. I don't understand.
You were prepared.
I don't understand.
Like, okay, so remember what Carson said at the end of the press conference. He said, I didn't see it. I actually totally believe that he had no idea about it until maybe a PR member told him today. Remember, what was it, when they played Sunday night, Chris Collinsworth they were talking about Carson Wentz, and they asked him about some of the things that said about Carson. He goes, I honestly have no idea what's said about me. During the season, I check out from social media, blah, 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 blah. So I actually do think Carson had no idea what Brett Favre said until maybe somebody tipped him off before the press conference. Hey, by the way, this was said.
Yeah, because you can almost hear in his voice.
Yeah.
Like he was kind of hurt.
Yes.
Right? Like
right.
You heard it in his voice where he was like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you don't want to enlighten me? Or what does it matter? That was his tone. His tone was like, so I agree with you. I think he's definitely a guy that doesn't listen to anything and purposely stays away from it, which is probably smart.
You want to hear his answer real quick?
Go ahead.
I did not. So maybe you can enlighten me, or at the end of the day, it's really whatever. I mean, everyone has their opinion, so I don't know.
Yeah, see? Okay.
Thanks, Carson.
Right? Like, that felt like, oh, damn. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, but Doug was definitely, he was ready for it.
And
his answer was, that's Brett's opinion, and he's entitled to that.
Yeah, all right, well.
All right, dude.
All right. You got it, man. Natalie, that jersey looks spectacular.
I love it. I like it.
I agree with you, too.
I'm happy as a clam. I think it'll look cool on the court, too. I know it's not, you know, what everybody's used to, but Ben's young. He designed it. He has, like, a different style. Of course it's going to be a little different,
I know. I liked it. And I agree with you. It's an underrated item.
That's what I mean. I swear, it's sitting on 76 last
Boathouse
week.
Boathouse Row is underloved.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
We can change the lights depending on what's going on. It's wonderful.
Awesome. I agree. All right, let's talk about, my favorite, Primo Hoagies. Yeah, the great Primo Hoagies. In fact, somebody told me, a little birdie told me, that Primo Hoagies is coming in with some steaks. That's right, some cheesesteaks for everybody. Doesn't get any better than the Primo Hoagies. You're now doing cheesesteaks. They're ridiculous. They're delicious. You're going to love these cheesesteaks. You got to tell you about, there's like 27 of the Primo Hoagies around the area. Have them. They're awesome on a seeded roll. They're delicious. The cheesesteaks are incredible. And by the way, those of you at the Primo Hoagies in Downingtown on 24 East Lancaster Avenue, celebrate Customer Appreciation Day with $5.99 Primo size hoagies and cheesesteaks all day today. That's right. They have extended hours from 10 to 8 every day at the Primo Hoagies in Downingtown, 24 East Lancaster Avenue. Check it out. Check out the steaks. They use only the finest meats, cheeses, the bread baked every couple hours in store. You know, it's spectacular. So this Sunday, when you're looking to have a big tailgate at home, go with the steaks. And remember, it's not just a cheesesteak. It's a Primo.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gosh, it went great.
It's 1 o'clock. I feel kind of bummed out, man.
What do you mean?
I feel kind of bummed out. Does it make sense that I feel more bummed out?
Well, because there's a divide?
I just have no confidence, man. You have confidence?
Oh, I mean, no. Not at all. I mean, it's clear that it's not a good relationship at this point. I mean, here's the thing.
Forget about relationship. I don't have any confidence. If they can't figure this out, how am I supposed to think that they can figure out a way to get back to the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating question.
I got to be real here. I always try all the time. And I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. And people, like, we got a guy, Joe, and I love him. And we have this argument. He's a big Doug guy.
Yes.
We go back and forth. He called earlier this week.
Yep.
And I'm cognizant of those people who are big Doug fans. And there's a lot of things he does well. But I don't think he's a good game day coach. He's not. He shows time and time again that he's not a smart game day coach. And if he can't think quickly on his feet during a game, he can't even do it in a news conference.
And I wonder, and I hear this argument all the time for guys like Carson Wentz who are struggling, even though he's had like seven different offensive lines. I always hear, well, look around the league. It's happening all the time. There's a lot of teams with injured offensive lines. There's a lot of teams with injured wide receivers, blah, 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 blah. Look around the league. Do you hear coaches pretty much not back up their quarterback? Like, look around the league. Is there a head coach who doesn't even back up his quarterback?
Dude, I don't understand it. It's like 101. It's 101. I there's two things I don't understand from the Carson haters. Why do people hate him? Like, what is it about him that makes people hate him? Like, if you were a Foles guy, I understand you love Nick Foles. It's cool. But Nick Foles is showing you that he's not a starting quarterback in the league. So it would have been foolish to keep Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. Am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're right.
I think it's pretty obvious, though.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be Lombardi to figure out that, you know, Nick Foles is that kind of spark. He's a great backup, and, you know, that's who he is. Not a slight. I mean, Wentz has ability. It needs to be brought out properly. I mean, we all seen the ability, right? We've seen the arm strength. We've seen him move. We've seen him throw on the run. What am I missing? How could people... Tyrone, you understand? He's shaking his head no.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. We're with you.
Let's go to Steve in Westchester. Stevie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Anthony. Through the years, I've gotten the impression that you like foreign films, right?
Yes.
I got a book and a film for you, okay?
Oh, yeah, cool.
The film is on Tubi. It's called The King's Choice. It's about the King of Denmark. Take a look at that.
Yes.
If you can. The book is Fortitude. It's by Dan Crenshaw. And Fortitude, and if you get this right, I'll buy three cheesesteaks for you guys in there.
We just got them dropped off by Primo's. It's Mikey's birthday today.
Well, it won't be, really, it is. No kidding. Mine's in another 9 days.
Nice.
Same age, I think. So, anyway, the book is called Fortitude, and if you can get this answer right, you got three cheesesteaks coming from me. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are...
Oh, geez, you're not going to do this to me, are you?
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Nobody.
I mean, I tried to think back to my Catholic school. I should know it off of the top of my head, and I don't, and I'm embarrassed.
Okay. He
comes on, starting the book, Dan does. He's a state U.S. Representative, about when people say something, outrage is generally the answer. I'm like that. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, and I told you I wanted to punch somebody over the head, you know, being a punk rocker, was a Cowboys fan or whatever. I'm like 5'9", he was 6'3".
Yes, I love that call.
Okay, so anyway, I asked you something. You know, just try to, what would be your reaction the next week, the next day, when the Eagles would lose? You came back with sad. You didn't come back with exasperated, incredible, and, you know, being incredulous or right. something like that. I thought you were going to be maybe hysterical or whatever. Well, you came back with outrage on this call, on this thing by Doug. But he did answer the question. Somebody commented before about Andy's response. Oh, my goodness. One of the reasons why Doug was responded, was hired by Lurie, was because he responds to questions. And he goes out of his way to respond to questions. So his answer was, I respect his opinion. I respect your opinion, Anthony. Can you answer this and tell me whose opinion that you don't respect?
When it comes to what, Peterson?
Anything. How about...
Let's not beat around the bush here. What was Doug's... What's the right answer that you have to give? If you know that you have to... You're in the middle of the season. Smack dab in the middle of the season. What's the right answer that he has to give?
I'll give you a Belichick answer. Okay, which I think with Lombardi are the two greatest coaches around. Belichick answer is, that doesn't pertain to the game. Give me the next question. Okay?
Why would you not take the opportunity just to publicly have your quarterbacks back? Now, let's remember something. The Brett Favre is close with Doug Peterson, right? So automatically, people start to wonder, well, I wonder if those two spoke and Favre spoke out of turn, right? So Doug has to say, no, nah, man, well, that's his opinion. I respect it, but he's going to be wrong because Carson is going to lead us or whatever you got to do to throw some sort of support behind your quarterback when you have 8 games left in the season. Don't you think that's prudent?
Fine, call it prudent. But guess what? He supported the guy by keeping him in the game, you know?
I completely disagree with you. He has supported Wentz all season, really?
Didn't he keep him in the game?
Why, he's going to put Jalen Hurts in the game? They're going to win?
Oh, you know, I'd rather see Sudfeld first, you know?
First of all, he wasn't activated, so you couldn't play Sudfeld.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you and I, Stevie, it's fine. I mean, we just come from it different places. The one thing I am left confused by is why you don't believe Peterson should have had Wentz's back.
You know, I do think he didn't say anything negative about him. Now,
By not saying it publicly, it's like if someone asks you to denounce white supremacy and you don't do it. Well, what are we supposed to think?
Well, that's an easy question for me. I mean, he asked him what he thought of his opinion, Anthony.
No, he didn't.
The
second question, I'm going to play for you right now. Uh-huh. Go ahead. Play for Stevie right here. This is Les Bowen, the second question. Doug,
just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion?
Now, how hard is that?
What was Doug's response?
Good, play it.
Respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and... I'll leave it at that.
And that's sufficient?
I'll ask you, Anthony.
No, I'm asking you. That's sufficient?
Yeah, I would have to say.
You're going to leave it hanging there? You're supposed to be a leader, a CEO of a major franchise, and you're going to leave it hanging out there like we're all idiots? Steve, I'm sorry. I'm done. I don't know what you're thinking. All due respect, I don't know how. What do we got to do here? What are we talking about? What are we talking about? How hard is that? Hassan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Hassan. What's happening, Hassan?
What's up with you, man? Listen, stop, man. Stop trying to convince people and stop beating yourself up over how you feel like people should. You're a smart, educated man. I know that because you're from my neighborhood. But listen, it's like we know he knew this question was going to come. Why it took him the third time to respond, I'll never figure it out. It's not hard to figure out. I don't understand what people are trying to equate this to. Like, I don't understand what the media, why are they so upset with the media? Maybe, just think about this. Maybe some people feel that way because they feel the way Brett Favre feels about Wentz. So that's why they're so easy to defend. Oh, the media's not believing. You know, people have their own hidden agenda. It's going to come out why this is going. I don't understand. Like, you need to see your. If you backing your quarterback 100%, I don't understand why it's so hard for you to answer that.
See, here's my thought on it. It's fine. People can. I'm not asking people to back Wentz.
Right.
That Wentz is almost irrelevant to the conversation.
Exactly.
Listen, if it's the end of the year, I would not fault Doug a little bit at not having his quarterbacks back, whatever you want to call it, right? I wouldn't fault it a little bit because that's his prerogative to say, I want Hurts as my quarterback.
Right.
But there's 8 games left in the season. And if you're not cognizant enough to go, I don't want to lose my quarterback any further, I need to come out publicly and squash this, right? Isn't that the obvious thing to do?
I can't agree with you more, man. You're 100%, but I'm gonna leave you with this just before they hang up. Remember the movie New Jack City?
Am I my brother's keeper?
There you go, man. Simple as that. Am I my brother's keeper?
Yes, I am. Good call, baby. Thanks, Hassan. Appreciate it. I mean, I love Steve. We have good conversations. I don't understand it. He has his back by not benching him in the Dallas game?
Yeah, I've seen that out there too.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
How come these people put no culpability on Peterson as the coach? Because I always thought the coach has to put the players in a position. If Brett Favre says his offense is simple, well, maybe it's too simple. I don't know. Isn't that a possibility? Hey, look, maybe it is all Wentz, right? That's certainly a possibility that it's all Wentz. But is it possible that Peterson is just a horrible coach and that he only won the Super Bowl because he had Reich and DeFilippo with him? Is that possible? That he's a great leader of men, but he can't coach X's and O's if you spotted him the X?
Great leader of men, but can't handle a press conference that he was very well prepared for.
I mean, isn't that a possibility? Why are people so quick to just throw all the shade on the quarterback and not for once look at the head coach with a critical eye? Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Chris.
What's up, Ant?
What's up, Chrissy? What's happening, buddy?
I actually liked it. Reason being, because I believe I told you more than a year ago that they were going to leave this kid high and dry. And you said, I sure hope you're wrong, Chrissy. I see better than I hear. Not one time have I seen Doug Peterson and that young man, whether you like him as a quarterback or not, go over any kind of structure, game plan, a bad throw. Maybe once in a while when he threw one on a dime, when he hit Miles in the backfield, he gave him a high five going back. I never seen those guys together in 3 years. That's like when I was growing up, man. Unfortunately, I was the youngest one. So my parents, you know, they separated. But they wanted to stay together until I was 16 for the betterment of the family. And it didn't work out. They split up at 13. And it was way better 2 years down the road. That kid will go to the Colts. We'll get a 1-3-5 for him. And then we'll get like a 4-6 the following year. And they'll groom him. And they'll put him back on the saddle. And he'll be successful. And then that's where Hallie and Doug get laid out to dry. And they're going to be held accountable. And finally, people are going to be held accountable. Because I need closure. Because for the past 3 years, man, this ain't working. This is just a bad relationship. That you go out to church, you go out to dinner as a family, everything looks great, and you go behind closed doors, and it's a hot mess. So I'm just tired of it. I don't even get mad about it anymore. Play out the year, get what you want for the kid, and let's see Howie and Doug. They say they're great, and Jeffrey Lurie believes in those two dudes. Let me see you do it, because I haven't seen it done yet.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, Ben Simmons is going to be the next guy next year, and we're going to miss that dude too.
Well, I feel confident with what's in place, the Sixers.
Oh, so do I. Oh, I feel way more confident. You feel confident? Look at this. Think about this.
I mean, that coaching staff is a great staff. I mean,
think about this.
Besides Doc Rivers and Jaeger. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You and Andrew, you guys are pretty sharp guys. Would close your eyes. Would you ever think in a million years you'd be looking at what's November 10th, 11th, and you would say the Sixers are 1,000 times better structured with the front office and coaching and responsibility for their team and their actions than the Eagles?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's like getting a divorce and buying the house next door.
Listen, I don't want to feel this way. I don't dislike Doug as a guy. I just don't have faith in him as a CEO of the football team.
I
wish him all the love and happiness in life. But he still has to show me. I don't believe just because he won a Super Bowl, not enough.
I don't believe it either. It's like that hot girl from back in the day. You knew she was going down the shore. You knew she was going to cheat, man. You were just hoping she wasn't. It's not good. I'm all about the Eagles, and I don't see Doug getting out of this. I think he's destined for disaster. But you guys have a blessed day.
You too, man. Thanks, brother.
Give your son a happy birthday.
I will. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that, my brother.
Find a Shirley Temple on me, man.
Extra you got service. It, buddy.
Love you.
Thank you, buddy. Love you, Chris. Take it easy. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing?
How are you, Todd?
Good, buddy. Good. And you?
Good. Thanks. My son's birthday. Number 11 on 11-11.
Whose birthday?
My little Anthony.
Oh, wish him a happy birthday.
I will. Thank you. Thank you. How about this? It's little aunt and Mikey Miss's birthday the same day.
And I'm the 16th.
There you go. Good people.
Yes.
In November.
Yeah. Hey. All right. I want to go Carson Wentz. But before I do, let's just wish all the veterans out there.
Amen.
Thank you and a good day to all the veterans.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, buddy, I'm going to go real quick, Anthony, front and center real quick, okay? Dougie, right? Hey, you know, Chris, let's go Chris first. Chris, that was a little hard on Dougie. Let's just finish out the season and see what happens. All right, who is the quarterback coach? I'm an old Burt Jones fan from Baltimore.
Burt Jones. Look, check that out. So Press Taylor is your quarterback's coach.
Okay, well, he's got to wake up because he's not getting the job done. Carson Wentz, in my opinion, is overthrowing the ball. I love Carson. He's got a shotgun arm, brother. Agreed?
Yes.
Yes. Just like Burt Jones, shotgun arm. And his quarterback coach needs to work more closely with him. And it's my opinion that he's overthrowing the ball. Maybe he needs to be talked to, like Chris said, right?
Listen, I think you're right, Todd. I also think he needs to protect the ball too, brother. Todd, I think you're right on, man. I do. I'm not absolving any blame from Wentz. Listen, and again, when we talked about the whole Favre thing, Keyshawn Johnson rips Favre. Well, that's his opinion. I'm not going to rip Keyshawn Johnson for ripping Carson Wentz. That's his opinion. Whatever. I could disagree or whatever. But when Brett Favre, who's the buddies with the coach, says something like they should have kept Nick Foles, well, are you kidding me? That's a big deal. And if Doug believes that, that's his prerogative too. He just can't say it when they're in first place, no matter how bad the division, and there's 8 games left this season.
Bottom line, end of story.
All right. Only took you 3 times, dude. All right. I got a timely and specific message about a local company, great company, that's hiring right now for installers and service techs. Dreyfus Fireplace, seeking skilled, reliable tradesmen to install and service prefab fireplaces at both residential and commercial sites. Visit DreyfusFireplaces.com or simply call 215-924-3500. Was your position eliminated in the wake of the COVID crisis? Are you out of work but ready to get back on the field with the right team? Well, Dreyfus Fireplaces, located in our great city, might be the perfect employer for you. Let's keep it simple, all right? They have immediate positions available. They offer competitive pay. They aren't going anywhere. They've been around for 145 years. So visit DreyfusFireplaces.com. That's D-R-E-I-F-U-S-S, D-R-E-I-F-U-S-S. The number again, 215-924-3500. Dreyfus, bringing the heat with quality and service since 1876.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1:30. All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Crazy. This is so crazy. So silly.
Yeah, there also are so many people that. So Tim McManus posted the final answer from Doug regarding Carson and how he went on that nice long rant about how Carson's his guy. He's going to lead this team. You know, I respect Brett for his opinion, but Carson's our guy, yada, yada, yada. Don't put words in my mouth. And people keep on sending that tweet to whether it's me, to you, to Middays, to the Fanatic, to Tyrone, to Mike. Everybody is sending that tweet. But what they don't know is that was the third time he was asked about it. Yes, that answer was a great answer by Doug. It was a great answer. The problem is it took him 3 times.
See,
he had 2 mulligans.
That's the problem with trying to follow along on Twitter when you don't have the sequence. You got to go back and listen to it. So before you act foolishly and impetuously, go and listen to it. In fact, we'll play for you right now. Go ahead, Tunis. Give it to him.
Doug, Brett Favre offered the opinion yesterday that you guys should have kept Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And, you know, his comments arguably offer, you know, have a little bit more weight since you guys are tight. Just curious what your reaction to his comments are.
I respect Brett's opinion. You know, I mean, yeah, we are friends, but I haven't talked to him and he's entitled to that. And that's about it.
Hi, Doug. Just to clarify on the Brett Favre business, you said you respect his opinion, but his opinion in this instance was that you should have kept Nick Foles and gotten rid of Carson Wentz. I'm assuming that's not your opinion?
I respect Brett's opinion. He's entitled to his opinion, and that's fine, you know, and I'll leave it at that.
Doug, before it gets blown out of proportion and everyone runs with, Doug didn't support Carson today and he stood by what Brett Favre said. Just want to give you a final opportunity to clarify. Those were Brett's thoughts. They weren't your thoughts. When the decision had to be made in the organization, even though personnel decisions like that are usually tough, was it that difficult for you guys? Was anyone beating down the door to do a different thing?
In regards to Nick?
In terms of keeping Nick over Carson.
No, Carson's our guy. Carson's our draft pick. Carson's the guy that is going to carry us and lead this football team. And listen, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Those aren't my words. Those aren't Howie's words, Jeffrey's words. Those are his words. I mean, I respect that opinion. Whatever he wants to say, that's fine. And we're going to remain friends. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. All I know is that Carson Wentz is our guy. And it's my job to get Carson Wentz to play better, to do better, to help this football team win, as it is to get everybody else to play better. And so, again, I respect his opinion and his words. Those aren't mine. Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem. And Carson's our guy. Bottom line, end of story.
All right. That would have been great if that answer he gave to the first question. Because let me ask you guys a question. What if Rob Motti never asked that question for the third time and gave him his third out,
mm-hmm.
right? What if he doesn't ask? That was the last question of the news conference. If he doesn't ask that question again for the third time, then that it ends and we're going, huh? And it's 10 times worse. But my biggest point is not whether or not he's got the quarterback's back. It's how do you not have the wherewithal to answer that way the first time?
Or the second time. Or even the second time, man.
I know. It's how it's done. I've been in this business for 25 years. I got dear friends of mine who are coaches in the league right now. And there's a way to do things. You can feel all you want if Doug goes, nah, I'm not sold on Carson. And he's got every right. I would not argue with him. He's the coach. And if he's not bought in, that's whatever. That's his prerogative as the coach. But you can't do it now. Now you got to keep things together. We just come off a bye week. Got the Giants coming up. You got to win the game. Tasty Cake, Dom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm listening to that. Even before you got to the press conference, Brett Favre stuff, right? And when they asked Doug the question about iPad, Doug's response, he's open. He's open. Well, if he's open and he's not getting the ball, that's a shot at Carson, isn't it?
Yeah, I listen, I'm not going to make a federal case at everything the guy says that's anti the quarterback because, I don't know, maybe he wants to have confidence to Hightower, right? Like, again, I'm not going to sit here and pick every one of his words that's anti-Wentz. I'm just saying, just have the guys back publicly the first time and nobody's going to have this conversation. But I mean, it's so elemental, Tasty Cake Dom.
Well, first of all, Ant, life is what it is. Your friends influence you. There is zero question in my mind that Brett Favre's comments were formulated by Doug's conversations with him about Carson. There's no question. If you're going to your boy, if Spags going to you all the time, Tyreek Hill, he's a worm. He's this, he did that. That's going to influence you, isn't it, Ant? That's your guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what happened. Doug is, you know, saying all this crap about Carson to Brett, and that's formulated opinion. That's what I think.
Well, you know what it is that I again, you might be right, Dommy. You might be right. I just can't say that because I don't know, right? So I don't want to put out there that that's the case because I don't know. Maybe they haven't spoken about it. I mean, I'm not privy to his conversations with Brett Favre. Maybe Brett Favre doesn't like the fact that Wentz is being compared to him, right? And he's like, this kid's not, he can't hold my jock. I'm going to go rip him. And Doug didn't say anything to him, right?
I just don't get, I listened to that Carson's press conference, and he, isn't he a likable guy? I don't get it.
I don't know either.
I understand this. And I got one more thing to tell you real quick on the game. I know you were with, first of all, happy birthday to Anthony.
Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
How was the thing with the museum?
So we didn't go because of all the stuff in the streets in New York City. We didn't go, so we're going to try to go Saturday.
So CBS, did you watch the game, Ant?
Yeah.
They show a graph. Do you remember them showing the
Dallas Pittsburgh you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
The futility of the NFC East against Pittsburgh's division. They showed a graph. That division is undefeated except the tie with
yeah.
the Jets. They show four quarterbacks. They show Lamar. They show Ben. They show Daniel Jones. They show Carson. All three of those other quarterbacks are throwing the football. Carson Wentz is throwing his hands up in the air like he just threw a pick. That happened. That's real. All three of the other quarterbacks are throwing the football, and Carson Wentz's picture is he did something bad. I'm telling you that happened. That's CBS.
I don't know. I can't go conspiracy there, brother. Listen, I can only know what I do know. I don't know anything about that. Dommy, I love you, buddy.
All right.
Listen, be safe, all right? You know, I don't know. I tend not to look at stuff like that. I don't believe in conspiracy theories. I don't believe there's orchestrated stuff. Nobody's anti-Eagles. Nobody's anti-Wentz from the National. It's an easy hot take. Right. Look at a guy that was taken number two overall, that had great heights early in his career, that has struggled mightily. Well, it's hot take 101. I'll go and rip the quarterback. And by the way, I'll rip the Eagles quarterback knowing that I'll get play in Philadelphia because it matters here. Who are you going to rip? You're going to rip Nick Foles in Chicago? I mean, you're not going to get the reaction. You rip Carson Wentz in Philly, you're going to get reaction.
Right, and especially with the story that, you know, surrounds it too, that they moved on from the guy who won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then you bring up the should they have kept, what you know, Foles or Wentz, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
By the way, Rob Motti tweeted out that he spoke to a few people, and he's even more convinced that Doug didn't intend to come off as not supporting Carson, but was mindful of not criticizing Brett Favre the first two questions until he realized he needed to make it clear that Wentz is his guy. Okay, I'm sure that's true. But that's not how you handle it. You shouldn't be worried about backing up your friend before the quarterback of your team.
Yeah.
Wentz is the quarterback of your team.
I don't think Doug is a bad guy. I don't think Doug is nefarious. I just don't think Doug thinks on his feet. And that's what worries me about his tenure as the coach of this team. By the way, it is Veterans Day, and I'm sorry, because I wanted to get a lot more yos in. I got to give a yo to Joe Casey, who's an Army veteran. And you got any more yos over there, Tunis? Look him up if you get any, because I want to give yos to our veteran. We didn't get a chance because this story, as ridiculous as it is, has taken over. Blake, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Blake.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening, Blake?
I can't believe, like, his pressers are as stupid as his play calling. It's ridiculous. It's just, I personally have been on the wave where this guy, I don't think he's a Wentz guy, honestly, and I've seen it since they drafted Hurts this year. Can't even defend Wentz's play this year. I'm not here to do that. But it's like, even on the sideline, like how you always say, he doesn't even go over and, like, he's not with him. It's like, I remember it was one point this year. I don't know if you ever called it or anybody else. It's like, Hurts came in for a play, did whatever, And then he's hyping Hurts. It was Doug literally like putting his arm around Hurts on the sideline, like joking with him, smiling with him. I feel like he's like already infatuated with that kid, and I think that's the direction we're going, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I would not be surprised if that after this season, they move on from Wentz. I mean, I don't know how else. I mean, what? I don't know. There's writing on the wall, right? Like, we could all look at the graffiti on the wall.
And another thing is, like, I'm not saying Wentz is perfect. He's not. He has his flaws. But like you said, you can see the kid has talent. He can play. It's like at the same time, is Doug really that good of a coach? He's a great leader, like you always say, but. Like, look at his play calling.
I'm with you. I don't like his play calling. I don't.
No,
I don't like his offense. No. I don't like his play calling. I don't like his game management. Really. I think it's below average.
Yeah, and I'm not going to resort back to 2017, but, well, I kind of am. But if you look at that Broncos game, it came up on my feed the other day when we demolished them. There was two plays that come to specific mind that we don't run at all. And Carson's perfect for the other, and the other one just a basic play. So the one was, Corey Clement, or I think Wentz was in shock, and Corey Clement was even behind him, or some type of weird formation. And Wentz takes it, and he's on the goal line, and he's acting like he's going to run it in, and he just shuffles it to Clement, and Clement runs it in. And then there was another one where it was earlier in the game. I think it was our first touchdown or our second touchdown. It was a screen pass. Line, whatever, you know how line pushes over, they're coming in on him. Corey Clement stays in the middle. It's not like he ran to the outside, and they hit him right there, and he's right up the middle, in for six. Like, why? Nothing even. It's like, and Brett says the play calling so simple. Is it really that simple? Because you got callers who call in every week, and we all know what's coming. The play calling's dumb.
Like, maybe it is. Maybe it is. Maybe the offense is. And thank you, Blake. I appreciate it, brother. Maybe the offense is too simplified, right? Maybe it is. You look around this league, and you know, I saw a thing where the Eagles are toward the bottom when it comes to ghost movement. There's you know, this league is pretty elevated when it comes to offenses and where you're at. I don't know if I see the same imagination, which is why I've always thought what's best for this team is that they get a real offensive guy next to Doug who can take the play calling duties away from him just for a spell, right? Not forever, because I know he likes it, but not replace Peterson. But help him. I don't think he's got strong enough people around him. By the way, yo, the T-Wills pop, an Army vet, RIP. Thank you for your service, sir. Brian in Dallas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Brian.
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, Ed, I'm going to talk to you to your audience for a minute who probably just not understanding your point. So I'm going to do it for you.
Thank you.
What Ed is trying to tell you people is leadership ability. Being a leader is not always saying the right thing. It's knowing when to say it at the right time. And the saying the right thing at the right time is what Ed is trying to say. It's kind of like this. Regardless of what his personal feelings are about whatever Doug's personal feelings are, could be about Carson. It's kind of like if you're sitting in front of an audience and you're talking about your spouse. You have problems, you have arguments and the like, but you don't tell people things that you would tell your friends in public about your spouse. If you have a problem or whatever, Doug should have had his QB's back, bottom line. You know, your friend, that's his job. Like he should be able to go to Favre in person and tell him, yo, man, you put me out there. You know, you shouldn't have done that. Cool. But in front of an audience, in front of everybody in your audience, when your quarterback is struggling, you don't throw them under the bus like that. You just don't. You got to know the right thing to say at the right time. And Doug hasn't done it. And this goes back to your leadership thing as a coach. Now, I hear you say Doug's a great motivator. Man, hey, man, I don't see that. I just think he has a team right now. A guy's like for example, I couldn't see Doug being the head coach of the 86 Giants. I can't see Doug getting in anybody's face, particularly Lawrence Taylor or Phil Simms, if they came out of line. That's not his personality. People saying, well, I don't see him getting in Carson's face. That's not him. That's what DeFilippo was for and what helped Carson so much. I don't see that being in Doug's personality. Doug doesn't really have, unless you tell me, we don't have anybody in the Eagles who's a hothead, a go-getter, where you have to change their personality. We have a really
I agree with you, Brian. I think you're right about the personality. I think they got to get meaner. Exactly. I think they got to get more teeth.
Right. And I agree with him. And he shows that when he talks about his career as an offensive coordinator, you got to think of it. In Kansas City, he had Andy watching his back to tell him, no, don't run this, don't run that. Obviously, our first 2 years, he had Frank Reich doing the same thing. That's why he has all these offensive coordinators, because he generally don't know how to, like you just said, take charge of a football game. Now, when we were talking about Carson earlier, you mentioned why people hate him. And I'll tell you why. It's basically because, I mean, Carson did really well. The league loved him in 2017. It's funny, being the third most popular quarterback from Pro Football Reference, the top 100. They loved him. But his performance lately has been bad. And we said we
don't have weapons. Yes.
I was caught up in the whole he didn't have weapons thing.
You're right. That was not an excuse on Sunday. I got to run, Brian. Right. Listen, okay. thank you for making that point, buddy. I appreciate that. Now, listen, I'm not just like some blind Wentz apologist. I mean, he deserves criticism after that game on Sunday night, bottom line. However, again, it goes back to being the CEO, right? For retired Chief Master Sergeant Joseph Haney. Retired U.S. Air Force, huge Birds fans out of Dover, Delaware. Yo to Joseph Brooks, who helps veterans, many of them now homeless. Yo to Carlo Giovannetti, who served 4 years. Yo to Graf in Media, another one of our veterans. Avalon Bryan, what's happening, AB? I got, I got a minute, so go ahead.
You got it. Yo to my father, who is a Marine Corps veteran and a Vietnam veteran. Happy birthday to your son. He shares a birthday with my anniversary today. I think you share a birthday with my father as well. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
You and I have some weird astronomy connection. Absolutely. As for the Eagles, you know what? You and I have talked about this before, too. Chip Kelly wasn't a good leader either. They seem to have a problem identifying strong leadership in the head coaching position. I really think there's something flawed there in their process. And when Doug can't just say the right things, he could have even made a sly joke about Brett Favre and say something like, well, that's why I'm a coach and that's why he's, an analyst or he's retired or something. And it would have been dropped. Instead, he's created his own mud pile. And that's bad leadership. I don't get it.
I hear you. AB, listen, God bless, all right? Good talking to you, my brother. All right, listen, Mikey Mist, the birthday boy's coming up next. Everybody have a great day. Thanks for hanging, as always. Be careful. Watch yourself with all this COVID coming up. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.